ജയം ഷുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിഥിലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സ്വഭാവ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദിഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗൗരി ശിഷ്യ ശ്രീ ഗുരു അൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗൗരി ശിഷ്യ പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാമ ഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായതേ തദാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ദ്യസ്യയദോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ബലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുപേതമപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈഭായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂക്കുണിതാദൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ സ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണൂമഭീഷ്ണശ വ്യാസാം ഹരികതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, in this 19th chapter, in the Ekadasha Skandam, so far, what have we seen? We have seen Krishna began that chapter from verse 1 to verse 7. Seven verses, glorified knowledge, is it not? Krishna glorified spiritual knowledge. He says to Uddhava, Uddhava, there is nothing else to strive for in this world except to realize the self what we are. And stressing that point from verses 1 to 7, Krishna kept on pushing this understanding of the importance and the value of spiritual knowledge and spiritual realization. It was at that time Uddhava asked mention in three verses. Uddhava spoke to Krishna that so how do I get to that knowledge? Uddhava asked that question. He said, how do I have that knowledge? That was the three verses. In reply to that, Krishna spoke from verses 11 to 18. 11 to 18, a limited few verses about importance of knowledge, renunciation and bhakti. Three things he spoke in there. And from verses 19 to 27, Krishna brought them back to bhakti again. This is the flow of that chapter. If you look into the verses, you will see there. From verses 1 to 7, 1 to 7, Krishna spoke about spiritual knowledge. And 8, 9 and 10, Uddhava asked the question, how do people can have this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken? The importance of knowledge Krishna spoke in that verses 1 to 7. And in conclusion of that seventh verse, Toyuddhava Shrayati Yastrivitho Vikaro Mayandara Patati Nadyapavargayor Yad Janmadayosa Yadamitavatasyakim Siu Adyandayor Yadasadostita Deva Madhye. We saw that verse in detail, didn't we? That particular verse, Toyuddhava Shrayati Yastrivitho Vikaro Mayandara Patati Nadyapavargayor Yad ജന്മാദയോസ യദമീ തവ തസ്യ കിം സ്യു ആദ്യന്തയോർ യദ സദോസ്തി തദേവ മധ്യേ. കൃഷ്ണ മെൻഷൻസ് ടു ഉദ്ധവ, ഉദ്ധവ, ദർ ഈസ് നത്തിങ് ഹയർ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് എക്സെപ്റ്റ് അക്വയറിംഗ് ട്രാൻസെൻഡൽ നോളജ്, ട്രാൻസെൻഡൽ റിയലൈസേഷൻ. ഉദ്ധവ സെയ്സ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ, ജ്ഞാനം വിശുദ്ധം വിപുലം യഥൈതം വൈരാഗ്യ വിജ്ഞാനയുതം പുരാണം ആഖ്യാഹി വിശ്വേശ്വര വിശ്വമൂർത്തേ തൊൽഭക്തി യോഗം ച മഹൻ വിമൃഗ്യം. Uddhava says to Krishna, Krishna, if it is like that, how will that jnanam vishuddham vivulam yathaida vairagya vijnana yudam puranam, that knowledge of the soul, how will that develop in a person? Except you, nobody else is capable of giving it to anybody. Akhyahi visveshara vishwamurte tol bhakti yogam cha mahad vimrgyam. That, how is that bhakti yogam? Because Krishna mentioned about bhakti previously also. So, and in reply to that, Uddhava spoke these three verses, and he also mentioned about the situation of the living entity in this world, situation of the living entity in this world. Those three verses are important, which Uddhava, on behalf of us, talking to Krishna. On behalf of us, he is talking to Krishna. He is saying to Krishna, then, Jnanam Vishuddham Vibhulam Yadheida Vairagya Vijnana Yudham Puranam Akhyahi Vishveshara Vishwamurte ദുർഭക്തിയോഗം ച മഹദ്വിമൃഗ്യം താപത്രയേണാഭിഹതസ്യ ഘോരേ സംതപ്യമാനസ്യ ഭവാധ്വനീശം പശ്യാമി നാന്യച്ചരണം തവാങ്കി ദ്വന്ദ്വാദവത്രാ അമൃതാഭിവർഷാത് ദൃഷ്ടം ജനം സമ്പതിതം ഭിലേസ്മിൻ കാലാഹിനാ ക്ഷുദ്രസുഖോരുദർശം സമുദ്ധമേനം കൃപയാവവർഗേർ വാചോഭി ആസിഞ്ച മഹാനുഭാവ. അഡ്രസ്സിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് മഹാനുഭാവ who has shown the greatest mercy. Uddhava is feeling so grateful to Krishna, addressing him as Mahanubhava, one who has shown unusual, considerable compassion to Uddhava. The knowledge has been flowing from Krishna without any interruption. Seeing that, Uddhava's heart started melting, and Uddhava mentions to Krishna that Vajobhi Rasinja Mahanubhava. We have to say, Uddhava says to Krishna that samudhrainam kripayabhavargair vajobhi asinja mahanubhava. That is how Uddhava addressed Krishna. So when that was spoken in answer to that, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, which we have seen before, spoken from verses 11 onwards right up to 18, Krishna mentions about the quoting Bhishma from the Mahabharatam. Krishna mentions what Bhishma spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj about jnanam, vairagyam, vijnanam, shraddha, bhakti. All those things. What I have heard, Krishna is saying, what I heard from Bhishma, I'll tell you what I heard, he says. Krishna is saying this. I heard from Bhishma like this, I'll tell you that. And Krishna quoting Bhishma mentions everything to Uddhava. And at the end of that, he says, Karmanam, 18th verse, Karmanam parinamitvad avirinjad mangalam vibashchil nashiram bashel adrishtamavi drishtavad. Till we come to understand the temporary nature of this world, creation, it is not possible, Krishna says to Uddhava, to experience this transcendental knowledge. Till we come to understand the temporary nature of this world, which means, which you will see, is nothing different than what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? What did Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajaswamam. So, from yesterday we discussed this in the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is saying that everything I have created, Krishna keeps saying that everything has come from me. He mentioned, Aham hi sarvabhudanam. Bhagavad Gita says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Aham, aham, aham. All speaking from the platform of the soul. You have to understand it that way. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajandema buddha bhava samanyuda. In the Bhagavad Gita you will see that verse in the 10th chapter. So everything Krishna says has come from me. I am the origin of everything. From the platform of the soul, Krishna is saying that. And Krishna also is saying to us that everything has come from me, but there are two problems with this creation, what I have done. I have created in such a way, it is anityam, it is temporary, one thing. And next thing, it is full of misery. That's the fact. Krishna is saying to us that. Anityam asukham logam. The world is, I have created in that way, it is temporary one thing, and it is full of miseries. So those two things, so don't try to change that. That is Krishna's point. I have created, it's a manufacturing defect, Krishna is saying. It's a manufacturing defect with the world. Anityam asukham logam. Then what's our job? That is what he says in the next line. Imam prapya bhajaswamam. You come back to me and get out of that place. That's all. That's why we saw that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that in the ninth chapter. And here Krishna is saying that we talked about karmam, karmanam parinamitvad avirinjad amangalam vibashchil nashiram bashel adrishtam avidrishtavad. But in generally, most of the people will find that very difficult. Even though they may accept it, oh, after all it is temporary. Just like when some death happens, we will say, after all everything is temporary in this world. We'll talk for a day or two about it. But then after that we'll back to our own business again. We have forgotten that, the temporary nature of this world. Same thing with the with all other miseries of this world also. When something we we have this experience, sukham dukham, that is the dvandvam, dualities of the material world. They keep coming. We don't want to accept dukham, we want sukham. We want sukham. What do they say? There is a comfort zone. We want to be in our comfort zone, isn't it? We don't want to go more than that. But Krishna consciousness, sometimes to understand, we have to come out of the comfort zone. It won't happen in the comfort zone. Comfort zone is okay. When we travel in the airline or when you check into your hotel, comfort zone is okay. But when it comes to Krishna consciousness, comfort zone is not a good thing. That is the point. That comfort zone we have to leave. We have to leave in the sense that even disturbances, distress comes in life. We have to learn to welcome that without distress over it. Because knowing that knowledge is that for that purpose, to understand that distress will come in life, it will cause various miseries. And normally most of the people will think that I have chanted so many rounds, I gone to temple so many times, I did this, I did that, why Krishna has done this to me? This is our normal reaction to in the material life. So, but Krishna is saying from verse 20 onwards, if you look, 20 to 27, Krishna has spoken everything, the background of knowledge, background of karma, everything about this world, and he brings it and ties it down to bhakti. Ties it down to bhakti. That is way. Whole Ekadasha Skandam, you will find the same thing. Again and again, Krishna will talk about jnanam, karma, tied down to bhakti. Everything tied down to bhakti at the end. So, let us look at that. Shraddha amrita kathayame shashvan madanu kirtanam parinishtaja pujayam studibi stavanam mama adara parijaryayam sarvangai abhivandanam malbhakta pujab adhika sarvabhudeshu manmati madartesh angajeshtaja vajasamad guneranam mayarpanam chamanasa sarvakamam vivarjanam madarthe artha parityago bhogasya cha sukhasya cha ishtam dattam hutam japtam madartham yad vratam tapa evam dharmair manushyanam uddhavalpanivedinam mayi sanjayade bhakti konyortho syavashishyade yadalpanyarpidam chittam shantam satoba brahmhidam dharmam jnanam savairagyam aishwaryam chabibhadhyadaye yadarpidam tadvikalpam indriyai paridhavati rajaswalam jasannishtam chittam vidhi viparyayam dharmo malbhaktigar prokto jnanam jai kalpya darshanam guneshu asango vairagyam aishwaryam chanimadayam. So those verses Krishna has spoken about the what is Krishna said. Krishna generally talked in these chapters Bhagavata Dharma, isn't it? Bhagavata Dharma. Then Krishna keeps on explaining that Bhagavata Dharma. Now, two things. Srimad Bhagavatam talks about Bhagavata Dharma. And Bhagavata Dharma is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is Bhagavata Dharma. Where is the difference between Bhagavata Dharma and Varnashrama Dharma? Varnashrama Dharma, Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita and here also in the Bhagavatam in some instances. Varnashrama Dharma is spoken. And Varnashrama Dharma means Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. Based on the Varnam and Ashram. Bhagavata Dharma, Varnashramam is not important. Varnam and Ashramam is not important. Bhakti is important. That is why we have to get this point into our mind that what is Krishna actually expecting us to do in this situation, isn't it? Varnashrama Dharma is not practical. Krishna knows very well in this age, Varnashrama Dharma has practically collapsed. Practically it has collapsed. It's not there to be honest about that. There is no Varnam, there is no Ashramam. There is not a proper Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or a Shudra. Or there is not a proper Brahmachari, Grahastan, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. This is the reality, isn't it? So, you can see that knowing well that this is the situation, Krishna, like in Karma Yoga, he gave us the different options. Krishna gave us another option in Karma Yoga, isn't it? Just like Karma Yoga in the Vedam, he is talking about performing sacrifices and yajnam, yagam, homam and things like that. But instead, in the Karma Yoga chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna brought completely a different understanding of Karma Yoga. Krishna has given us that Karma Yoga in a different way. It's different than the Karma Yoga spoken in the Veda. So similarly, here knowing well that Varnashrama Dharma is not simply practical, the way things, obviously Krishna knew very well that things will develop in this way. Things are going to change. And therefore, you can see all those devotees, all those realized souls who came in the recent times, ever since Varnashrama Dharma's breakdown, were all following the Bhagavata Dharma process. Bhagavata Dharma process. So, Bhagavata Dharma, Krishna says there, Krishna says, surrender your, hand over your mind and the body to me. That is what the principle of Bhagavata Dharma in one verse is there in the Niminavayogi Sambhadam. Kayena Vacha Manasendriyerva, in that verse. Isn't it? Kayam, Shariram, body, words, mind, intelligence, and all the pravarti activities what the body is doing. Karomi Yadyat Sagalam Parasmai. Offer that everything to Krishna. Narayanayedi Samarpayami. If it is done, it is Bhagavata Dharma. If it becomes Bhagavata Dharma. So, Krishna made that important point that mind should be offered to, or given to Krishna. Mind should be given to Krishna. So, there he mentions there, Mayarpanam cha manasaha sarvakama vivarjanam. You will see there that in verse 22, offer your mind to me and give up all the other desires. Two things. Mayarpanam cha manasaha and sarvakama vivarjanam. Krishna mentions there. Isn't it? In the 22nd verses, second part. Madarteshu angacheshtacha vajasa madgune ranam mai arpanam cha manasa sarvakama vivarjanam. Two things. So, mai arpanam cha manasa sarvakama vivarjanam. What does that mean? Bhagavata dharmam. Bhagavata dharmam, that's what it is. Bhagavata arpanam, everything giving to Krishna. So, when the mind comes to that stage, that is what takes you to Krishna. That is what takes you to realization. So, here we have to remember, after several lifetimes, we have been given a human form. We have been given a human form of body. After several lifetimes, like Pulmuranam says that 8.4 million different species of life, which we have gone through, and we have come to this human form. And in even the human form, whether we were, how many human forms we had gone through, that also we don't know. But in that human body, to get this power of discrimination and also some renunciation in life, and to also to have a goal of going back to Krishna, to come out of this place, and a desire to develop for knowledge and self-realization, if it happens in a person, you have to take it that that is Krishna's mercy. That is Krishna's mercy. It doesn't happen very easily. You can see sometimes with people that they somehow or the other, they are intelligent people in this world, but there is no desire for knowledge of the soul. There is no interest in spiritual life under any circumstances. They're very good and many ways they are capable people, they are intelligence, good qualifications, everything, but no attraction for spiritual life. This happens. So such a thing is very, very rare. And so, but we saw this last time when we talked from Ekadasha Skandam. Mujikunda came and told Krishna, I have wasted all my life, he says. Did he not? Two personalities in the Bhagavatam have spoken like this to Krishna. Mujigunda also Parikshit. Mujigunda and Parikshit, both of them said, both spoke in a little different way, but the message is the same. Mujigunda, when he saw Krishna, he said, I have wasted all my life, he said. Because Mujigunda has gone through a lot in life, a lot in his life. You can see he went to the heavenly planets, working with Indra to fight against the demons. He has done all that. Even in this planet, Mujigunda has fought a lot of wars and subduing other kings, a lot of soldiers get killed, and so many things have happened in their life. They were not ordinary people. Mujigunda was not an ordinary person. He was an emperor, wasn't he? So in his life, what he went through has brought him to think like this, it's all a waste of time at the end. And he says to, Muchukunda is saying to Krishna, I have wasted my whole life, he says to him. So that's what we saw last time. So he was a great personality in the solar dynasty. And Muchukunda glorifies Krishna in the Bhagavadam, which is famous known as Muchukunda's Stuti. So that's a perfect example of that. So he was a king, and he says that my whole life was wasted. What did he say? He says that if you look, Muchukunda Stuti, if you look, you will see there, that is the 51st chapter in the 10th canto, 48th verse, he says, Muchukunda uvacham vimohitoyam janayishamayaya todiyaya tvam na bhajate anartha drikke sukhaya dukha prabhaveshu sajjade griheshu yoshil purushascha vanchitah. That is in the verse chapter 51 and verse 46. First verse, Muchukunda vacha, Muchukunda talking to Krishna. I mentioned briefly about the story of Muchukunda, which you all know, how Muchukunda met Krishna, isn't it, in the cave, that you know. So what we want to hear is about, more interested in, what did Muchukunda have to say to Krishna and what Krishna had to say to Muchukunda. This is important. That is why glorification becomes very important. What Muchukunda had to say to Krishna and what Krishna had to say to Muchukunda. Look at this. Vimohidoyam janayisha mayaya todiyaya tvam na bhajatyana arthadrakya sukhaya dukha prabhaveshu sajjade griheshu yoshil purushascha vanchitah. That is what Muchukunda begins his prayers. That you can ask anybody, big people in this world, great celebrities in this world. You ask them, ultimately they will also have the same thing what Muchukunda is saying here. They also, big people, big positions, big, once some time in their life, they also feel this, that it was all a waste of time. What did I do in this world? Why have I come here? So we keep thinking that they are big people, big thing and all. Actually, there is no big people in this world. Nobody here. There is no big person in this world. And there is no big thing in this world done. Everybody has come here to come finish up their prarabdha karma. That's all it is. Right from President Obama to right up to the ordinary man in the street, they are all burning up their prarabdham. That's all. That's all what is going on here. We are just thinking that, oh, somebody is great, somebody is... Actually, in Krishna's eyes, he has sent all of us here to finish up our prarabdha karma and leave this world. That's all it is. So nobody is doing anything great here. Nobody is a big person here in this world from the viewpoint of the Shastram and Krishna's viewpoint. That is the main thing. So in principle, Krishna has sent us with one motive, that before death happens, somehow realize the truth. He has not sent us for any other purpose, to turn this whole world upside down, or thinking that my life is very special, or any specific purpose I have come here. This is all something to do with the mind. It's a crazy nature of the mind that is telling us all that. The mind is telling us that I've been sent here with some specific mission or specific goal, or I have some great things to perform here. This is all nothing but Maya, illusion, nothing else. And that illusion manifests in the mind, and mind is making you think like that. There's nothing great here. Nobody is big here. Everyone who comes here comes out of prarabdham. And the purpose for which we were sent here was, in Krishna's words, it is only for realizing the truth. That's all. Alpajnanam, self-realization, only for that purpose. So, if you look at from Krishna's point of view, whether you are a big person or a small person, what they achieve in this world is the same. There is nobody performing any special karmam in this world. In this karmam in this world, and nobody has done anything so far, and it is not going to be done here either. It's not going to be done here either. You have to look at this from Krishna's position. What Krishna is saying to us in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is that there is nothing here to be done. We have been sent here, prarabdham has to finish. We are thrown at different situations here to get through that prarabdham, that is all. That's why everybody is experiencing different things in this world. Nobody is big here, nobody is small here. All of them have only one goal, to burn the prarabdham out and an opportunity given to go back to Krishna, to free ourselves from this cycle of birth and death. That's all this life is about. But we make it all the other things. On our own, we think that this, he is big, he is small, and he has done great, great things. Somebody has done so many things. Prabhupada also used to mention this. He said that so many big people. In Bhagavatam, how there is a chapter later on, which will come in the 12th canto, it is called Bhumi Gita. Bhumi Devi talking about it. Bhumi Devi says, so many big, big personalities came here. And they walked over my chest, she says. And they all wanted to control me, she says. Not ordinary people. The list, if you see, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, and other great personality, Gadi, and Prithu. She is listing even Prithu in that, Prithu Maharaj, Prithu. And she talks about all those great personalities whom you find in the Puranams. They all come here, she says, and they all wanted to keep a control over me. But now I'm looking, where have they all gone? They've come and they've gone. Nobody stayed here. Nobody could stay here. It is going on like this since time immemorial, like this. Of course, in those days, when they talk about in the Puranam, they talk about that those kings who ruled the planet at that time. If you take the current times, you can talk about all those personalities who wanted to control this world, this empire, that empire, and those who led these different empires, then Hitler and then Napoleon and all kinds of people, they come here. They come and they've gone, and nobody's going to ask about them anymore. They're finished. They left this place. Some children may study at the school for some time. After that, they'll also be forgotten. That's all it is. So nobody is here important. That's the main thing Krishna is telling us. Nobody is important here. All of us have got this material body and we have been sent here for one purpose. Use this body and at this time, if it's possible, come out of this cycle of birth and death. There's nothing else to achieve here. There's nothing else to think that some great thing we are going to do here in this world. Krishna says that's just an illusion. And you cannot do anything about it. You can't change anything also to such an extent here. People who have tried to change this world, ultimately they also had to go leave crying here. Crying they left this world as well. So, as far as how much important an ordinary person has in the street, it is only the same importance the United States president also, from Krishna's point of view. There's no difference. They may be doing, apparently it appears to us that they are doing a lot of things in this world. But in reality, that Krishna is not considering one higher than the other. He's not looking at it. So, and the other person is not going to get, one person is not going to get achieve anything more than the other person in this world. It's just Maya putting us through that illusion, thinking that we are doing something. So, sometimes we think that the president's position or prime minister or some chief executive of a big company or something like that, that is a big position and all that. So, and also in our understanding, we look at people and say, oh, he's an ordinary person working every day for a living. And, or somebody is a very poor person, or somebody is a very rich person. This is all in our eyes. In our eyes. And we put them upon in a higher level and lower level and all these kind of things. So, main point why I'm saying this is, to think that we are achieving something in this world and allow the mind to go in this world. And if we keep on creating what is called as vibhramam, this is thing are called vibhramam, then ultimately what will happen is, if we create this a lot in our mind, ultimately, like Mujukunda, we will also say to Krishna one day, the whole life was a waste of time. This is what will happen. If we allow our mind to go into the world and start developing this understanding of in the world that something is big and something is small, something is great, something is amazing thing what they have done, and all these kind of falsities, in other words, which is referred to in Shastram as Vibhramam. If we create a lot of this Vibhramam inside, one day, like Mujukunda told Krishna, we will also say to Krishna, the whole life was a waste of time. Waste of time. Did so many things, but what I should have been doing, I didn't do it. Instead, I did so many things in this world. And this is not a statement which is not only from Krishna. Great, great sannyasis have said this. What to talk about Krishna? Many sannyasis, Mujukunda is not a sannyasi, he is just a king, Kshatriya king, isn't it? Mujukunda has mentioned this, but even sannyasis and swamis who have left everything in this world, and ultimately they also came up with the same. Whole lifetime they wasted building ashrams and printing books and this, and all sorts of things they did, writing books. And ultimately, after doing all them things, they realized, they are saying like this, I given up everything and took to sannyasa ashramam, but I couldn't get what I should have got. What is that? Self-realization didn't happen. You can do all sorts of things in this world, so many things. You are thinking in your own mind that I am doing the right thing. Or the ego from inside is dictating this, to do such things. But what is the use at the end? That is the point Krishna is saying, that if it does not end up in realizing the truth, self-realization doesn't happen, we will have exactly the same answer. Whether you are a Swami or a Guru or a Sannyasi or whatever it is, doesn't matter. You may have held big positions in the institutions. You may have had many disciples. You may have a lot of wealth you have. You may have built a lot of ashrams and other things. But the end, only one thing you have to say to Krishna, the life was all wasted. That's all. Because the goal, you didn't get there, realizing the self. Self-realization didn't happen. I didn't get out of this body, what's the point? I may be a guru, I may be a sannyasi, I may be anybody. But at the end, if I have to come back again and start the whole life as a baby in the womb of a mother and go through all the miseries of that and then grow up from there, go to school and all that thing what you have to go through in life. What have you done special here? There's nothing special that has happened here. That's the point. This is what spiritual life is, makes difference from the others. So, many people, many swamis and sannyasis have spoken this. You may not know them, but there are many who have done this, said this. That whole life I wasted in building temples, building ashrams, and building this, building that, and thinking that I'll change this world. No, it's not possible to change. The world will go its own way. That's already decided. So, they are saying that I could not realize myself the truth, and I didn't experience anything of my own. I did a lot of things, and that's what he's saying here. If you look in the 48th verse, you will see there. In the 48th verse, what does he say? He's saying there that
Mamaisha kalo jida nishpalo gato rajya shriyo nadhya madasya bhupate martyalma buddhi sudadara koshavul asajjamanasya duranda chindaya.
This is the 48th verse in the Mujukunda's prayers. Mujukunda's prayers, the 48th verse, which is the chapter 51 in the 10th canto. He says,
Mamaisha kalo jida nishpalo gado rajya shriyo nadhya madasya bhupate martyalma buddhe sudadara kosha bhul asajjamanasya duranda chindaya.
He says there that when I was a king, Mujukunda says, I was very absorbed in the administration of the kingdom. And in this temporary life in this world and this temporary body, I identified myself with that. The result of that was that I developed various kinds of castles in the air. I built a lot of castles in the air. And I had children, many, many wives, a wealthy treasury, plenty of land. I was attracted to all that, he says. Then, and due to that, I got absorbed in that, and all my life was a complete waste. You must remember, this is spoken by Mujukunda, not an ordinary person. So now, if you or me says this, it doesn't matter. We own a two-bedroom cottage or house, three-bedroom house or something. He's not saying this. It's spoken by someone who owned the planet. Mujukunda is a solar dynasty king, isn't it? Who ruled the planet in solar dynasty. Very, very big personality. Such a big personality, Indra was taking him to heavenly planets to fight the war. That means he had a relationship with Indra. Is it not? That means what? His access to heavenly planets. If Indra wanted him, he could stay there in the heavenly planets with Indra and enjoy all the happiness of the heavenly planets. This is his, I don't think anyone in this world today have that opportunity to enjoy to that extent in the heavenly planets. Such a person is saying to Krishna that Mamaisha Kalo Jita Nishpalo Gato, I have completely wasted my time. Just see that. From this you have to understand the importance of self-realization. That I have been given this opportunity to realize the truth, I didn't take advantage of it. He is lamenting. That is why, if ordinary person is saying this, it's a different thing. We will say, okay, it's not so important. He is, after all, he could, we will say, oh, he couldn't do anything in life, so he's saying like this, you can say like that. But a personality like Mujukunda, who was visiting the heavenly planets and fighting the wars there, and who told Indra that when Indra asked him, what boon do you want? He said, I just want to go back to spiritual world. Can you help me? He said. Indra says, I can't. That's the only thing, don't ask me, he said. Then he says to Indra, I'm not interested then. You can't give me anything, what I want. All other things, I got better things than what you have got, he says to Indra. The Kshatriya nature in him, he says to in that way to Indra. And now by providence, it was meant to happen that Mujukunda has to meet Krishna in the cave inside. And Krishna knows the whole history of Mujukunda inside out, what has happened to him in previous lives and everything. And when Mujukunda mentioned this to Krishna, Krishna is smiling and says to Mujukunda, I'll give you that opportunity now, but you can't go back to spiritual world yet. You go to Badrinath, stay there and practice all this, what I have spoken to you before, the transcendental understanding. And then stay there, and when your sinful reaction, perform penances there in Badrinath. And then at the appropriate time, you can come back to the spiritual, you'll get your self-realization, but then you'll have to come back again. And that's how Sridharajari Swamiji came here, that I mentioned before also. So in this verse, you can see that 48th verse, if you read that carefully, Mamaisha Kalo Ajida Nishpalo Gado. Mamaisha Kala means my time, Ajida, one who cannot be conquered, that is Krishna. Nishpalo Gado, it was a complete waste of time. Rajya Shriyo Naddha Madasya Bhupate. Because of the opulence I had, Rajyam Shri, because of that, I was so proud. Who was? He was so proud. Can you imagine Mujukunda's his situation was so wealthy a king. He was personality, very powerful as well. Kshatriya spirit also. Altogether, he says, I was in such an arrogant person. I had so much wealth behind me. Martyalpa buddhe sudadara koshabul asajjamanasya duranda chindaya. What have I done? Martyalpa buddhe. That instead of trying to understand who I am, I never asked that question to myself. Who am I? That question never came up in me. I was busy with what? Sudhadhara kosha bhula sajjamanasya. Wife and children, that was the only thing that was going through my mind. Naturally, a big, powerful Kshatriya king like that, he will have so many wives, beautiful princesses, everything in his palace. Very, very wealthy person as well. And many children, powerful children, and So naturally his mind was absorbed in that family environment to such an extent. He is saying here, asajya manasya. My mind could not come out of that. It was completely in that circle of wife and children and all that. I lived in that way. Duranda chindaya, he says, it has brought disaster to me at the end. What is the disaster? Time has run out. That's a disaster. I didn't do what I should have done. So you can see in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 9th canto, Shukabrahmarshi talks to Parikshit a list of great personalities, isn't it? Not all kings, but while talking, Namaskandam, the 9th canto, is Ishanucharitam, it's called. Ishanucharitam means the history of controllers. Isha means controller. Ishanucharitam means the history of the controllers. Big personalities who control this planet. Way back, not now, many, many years ago, many hundreds and thousands of years ago, who control this planet, that is Suryavamsham, the solar dynasty, Ramachandra's dynasty. So there, he's saying there, he has brought in all those great personalities who appeared in the solar dynasty and those who appeared in the lunar dynasty and who ruled this planet at that time. He has mentioned that in the 9th canto. Why did he mention that? The reason is this, that they all have come and they've all gone from here. They're not going to come back here again in the same way. So, in order to stress this point, nobody can hold on here permanently and stay. And nobody can be happy in this place. All these great personalities, they had come and they had gone. That's why in the 9th canto, that history was spoken, Ishanucharitam. The way the wording used is very interesting there. Ishanucharitam, he says. The history of the controllers. That's how he puts it. It's not like the democratically elected president and prime minister who have no power. After 5 years, he's in the street again. Today's president, tomorrow in the street. Everywhere in the world, it's like that now. And another one comes in, and then he stays 5 years, and then he goes, and somebody else comes in. So it was not like that. These kings were not like that. They were completely under control of the situation. They were controllers, real controllers they were. What they wanted, they could do it. And they didn't have to get the approval from United Nations and the Parliament and the Senate and everybody's. After everybody saying, yes, now you can do it, then he does it. But that was not like that in their case. They had the freedom to do what they could, they wanted to do. So that was their controlling nature. The Kshatriya nature was there like that. So whatever it is, the same thing Muchukunda is saying here. Martyalpa buddhe sudadhara kosha bhul. So here, you will see that all these people that are saying the same thing, it should not happen. That is what the warning there in that verse. The warning to us. Shukabrahmarshi says, you should not get into the same trap. What has happened to them? What has happened to them? Because before the body drops away, we have to realize the truth. Before the body drops away, we have to realize the truth. So, that's why one of the great personality who was realized, he sat there and sang a song, Taimanavar, if you may not have heard about him. He says here, everyone in this world should come, he says, that not my own people or my own countrymen, he says, everybody in the world should come because before the body drops away, experience this, the happiness of the soul, happiness of the soul. He gives the example, just like when you, here we don't have the crow so much, but in India you'll notice that when they throw some few grains of rice, cooked or boiled rice or whatever, outside, somehow one crow will find it out. But he won't eat the whole thing. He will make a lot of noise inviting all the other crows to come and to share what he got. In the same way, I'm calling everybody, Taimanavar says like that. Because he says, let everybody experience this before they lose this body. Muchukunda also says that, says to Krishna, I became the king. Many countries also I have conquered and subdued them. And many other kings were surrendered to me. And they were paying their respects to me all the time. And opulence wise, I had so much, which I couldn't handle myself. It was so opulent it was.
നിരൂഢമാനോ നരദേവമിത്യഹം. He says there, isn't it? In the, if you look into the verses, you will see there that his lamentation, basically, who our Muchukunda, he says that in the 49th verse, Kalebaresmin ghadakudhya sannibhe nirudhamano naradevamityaham. വ്യക്തോ ഭൃതോ രഥേഭാഷപദാത്തനീകപൈർ ഗാംഭര്യണാം സ്വാം ഗണയൻ സുദുർമദാഹ. കളേബരേസ്മിൻ ഗടകുഢ്യ സന്നിഭേ നിരൂഢമാനോ നരദേവമിത്യഹം. ദൻ ഹി സേ ദിസ് ഈസ് ഓൾ ദോസ് ടു ത്രീ വേഴ്സസ് ആർ ഹിസ് ഹി ഈസ് ലാമെൻറ്റിംഗ്. മുച്ചുകുന്ദ ഈസ് ലാമെൻറ്റിംഗ്. ഈ സെയിങ് ദർ ദൻ ബിക്കോസ് ദിസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി ഹി സെയിങ് is just like the earthen pot and like the wall, is like a jadam, jadavastu. It has no life in there. And in this body, I have identified with this body increasingly, and that has created a lot of pride in me. You can see why he is saying this, because he is a Kshatriya. That's why. Kshatriyas are very proud of their bodily strength, isn't it? The Kshatriya nature is like that, bodily strength. And the courage, heroism, that's their nature. If somebody says to something, there will be a reply for that. You will get a reply from them, proper reply. So that's just their nature. So that's why, so it's coming from a Kshatriya like that. He's saying this, that I have identified with this body. It's very difficult for Kshatriya to come out of that bodily identity, the strength of the body. And he says here that I had all this elephant, because in them days, elephants, chariots, horses, all these in cavalry, all that was their wealth, army, isn't it? And because of that, I was wandering around in this world with the strength of all that, and I did not take notice of you. And due to that pride in me, I got intoxicated with that ego. And I was so proud of that, and I completely didn't take notice of you. Who Mujukunda is saying to Krishna this, I didn't take notice of you. And he also mentions there, then pramattamuchai idigritya chindaya pravruddha lobham. That is verse 50. Pramattamuchai idigritya chindaya pravruddha lobham vishayeshvalalasam tvam apramatta sahasabipadyase chullelihano hirivakumandakah. Says that I was attached to sense enjoyment, and because I was thinking about so many other things, what has happened is pramattam. Pramattam means intoxicated state. Most of us are like that, isn't it? Intoxicated state, although we are not drunk, we are drunk with something else. A kind of ignorance or whatever we call it, that is kind of intoxicated state. Then he says here that desire after desire, one thing after the other, is coming. And I did not never took notice that death is coming, he says. Muchukunda says death is coming. I never thought that. And I realize now, he says, Chulelihano hirivakum andaka. When I'm running around in this world like that, suddenly one day, time personified, which he is comparing with a snake, just like the snake catches the mice. Snake catches the mice. I don't know whether you have seen them, how the snake catches the mice. There is something in the YouTube if you have not seen. Because YouTube is very helpful in all these things. They put everything there. Maybe. But if you have seen them, how they do it, it is interesting how the, especially the male ones. The male ones, they have a huge, bigger body and a bigger mouth as well. Or even you can see the pythons, how they catch the elephant animals and they eat them. So all this is interesting. So similarly, in such a slow pace, they take it inside. And it has no choice of possibility of escaping. A part of the body has gone inside the snake. And it cannot completely pull it in one lot. So it takes its own time. Its own time. It pulls a little bit inside and it lies down for some time. Then pulls again further inside. Like this, he goes in. Actually, what Muchukunda is saying here is that we are also like that. We are getting pulled by the time personified, isn't it? Kalam. Kalam is personified. So, it comes and when the snake is very hungry,
when it's very hungry, it's it'll catch very fast and it'll eat. When the snake is very hungry, it'll catch very fast and eat that. Snake, normally many of them don't go that fast on the ground when they move, but when they are hungry, you should see how fast they are in getting the its food. So he says there, that's it. And what he says here, Toma pramatta sahasavi padyase shulleli hano hiri vakum andaka. Andaka, death personified, is taking me in that way, he's saying there, like that.
Purarathair hema parishkrita ischaran madangajerva naradevasam ida sa eva kalena durateyena te kalebaro vil krimi bhasmasam idaha.
In the 51st verse, he's saying, then initially, earlier, I was traveling in this world. My chariots were all decorated in gold, chariots, everything. 20 of elephants covered in gold. And I traveled on them like a king. And that body, now I'm looking at it and I can see that this body will turn out into what? It will be eaten by the worms and the stool, and it will turn into ashes at the end. So from Muchukunda's position, now he is seeing in a different way about life. Up to this time, the ego was running everything. I am a big emperor, I am this, I am that. And Muchukunda's story is important in the Bhagavatam, because we develop all misconceptions about this world. So many big people and big leaders, big prime minister, president, this and that, all so many things. We think they are all big. But they also, at the end, this is the destiny for them also, nothing different. And an ordinary man also, he has to also face the same thing. There is the same music. Both of them have to face. There is no difference at all. So, it goes on like that. So anyway, in the Bhagavatam, why we are talking about all these things is Nirudhamano Naradevintiham. I identified myself as the king and Vrithoratheshya. So I traveled like this, plenty of elephants, horses and everything. So and any time if I wanted to order something, I just have to look, there were people ready there to take the order, instructions. Take the instructions. And so practically he says it was difficult for me to walk freely in the world because of the positions, isn't it? So all time when I was traveling, there are others with me, like his bodyguards and so many other people with the king, isn't it? So at all that time when I was living like that, he says, I didn't even realize that there is a goal of life. Muchukunda is saying this. He says, I never knew that this life has some goal. Then I was thinking this is all life is all about, like many people in this world think like that, isn't it? They think this is life, nothing more to think about in this life. So Muchukunda is also saying the same thing. So, and that hasn't changed. Parikshit, Muchukunda said like that. Now, Muchukunda spoke in this way. Now look at Parikshit, how he spoke about that. Parikshit is saying here, so Parikshit also was an emperor, isn't it? He's also an emperor. And Parikshit was saying here, actually, when I got that curse, he says, in normal circumstances, when you are doing very well in life, if somebody creates some problem for you, you'll try to get rid of the problem first, isn't it? When you are doing well in life, I'm saying materially happy life goes on here. If somebody creates some problem, what you will try to do is to get rid of that problem somehow. So our this little Brahmana boy, 5 years old, Sringi, he came and cursed Parikshit that in 7 days' time you'll be bitten by Takshaka and you have to die. Now, when this curse happened, if Parikshit wanted, he could have got out of it, because you can see Sringi's father. Sringi's father, Shamigrishi, didn't like what Sringi did to Parikshit. Didn't like it. He called him and told him what he have done is a big mistake. After all, the king is representative of Krishna in this world. And you have no right to curse him like this. You should not have done this to him. and we should inform him this has been done, and let's see what he says, Parikshit has to say, he said. So, at that point, Parikshit's words, you have to read through what happened to Parikshit. Parikshit is saying there that, that I am so fortunate that I managed to escape from this administration of this world, this planet. This is how Parikshit responded to that curse. He said, I welcome this curse, he says. If he wanted, he could have gone back to Shamigha Rishi, and Shamigha Rishi could have done something about it. It was not beyond his capacity. Shamigha Rishi was a realized great sage, one among like the Vishwamitras and Vasishtas of this world, like that. There was such personality like that he was. So, but he didn't do anything. Parikshit didn't ask for it. But Sringi's father, Shamigha Rishi, also didn't say anything about it. Sringi also didn't say anything after that. That's how it happened. It happened like that. Parikshit said, I welcome this, I will accept it, he said. He didn't try to change it. He didn't try to change it. On the other hand, he says there, it is an opportunity I have got now, because from the day one when he saw Krishna in the womb, from that day onwards, this thought in his mind, who is that person I have seen inside the womb? Inside the womb. That means that inquisitiveness. Remember his Shraddha, what we talked about yesterday. That happened inside that womb itself. That Shraddha has come out. So Shraddha, once that Shraddha comes, then it is very difficult to suppress it. You can't wipe it out or you can't push it out. It will keep on coming back and push us in that direction, in that way. So Parikshit says there, I will enjoy this now. I have got 7 days left, he says. He doesn't have to accept it that way, but he did. But he did. Just to show that both Muchukunda as well as Parikshit, all these personalities, they have only one thing to tell us. Don't waste a life. This is an opportunity Krishna has given. And the only benefit you can derive from this life is to realize the truth, to realize the self. Normally, so he says here that it gives me an opportunity to being alone and it will give me an opportunity to remember Krishna, he says, Parikshit says. It will give me an opportunity to remember Krishna. When we say like that, on the Bhakti Margam you will say like this, in the Jnana Margam you have to take it the other way. That they are saying that it's an opportunity given to me to realize the truth. That's how the Jnanis will say. Devotees will say it's an opportunity to hear about Krishna. The two ways it is presented in the Bhagavatam. So, he says there that in life, small things are important. Small things are important and we have to know that first. Vaidika system is not doing big things. It is never like that. Now the philosophy in the world is everything must be big. If you do it in a big scale, you are doing a big thing. People will think that, oh, you have done such a big thing, isn't it? But in the Vaidika system, it is not like that. Doing small things and doing it perfect. Perfection in doing small things and making it a success. That is what the Vaidika system is. They never approved big things. Big things was not a... So, this is a brandi. Brandi in us, a madness in us. We think that if we make it big, what happens when it makes it big? Mostly, the essence is gone. The spirit is gone away from there. So, normally you can see only people who have got... who have lost their... sense... they will go to do big things in this world. To do big things in this world. So there's nothing big to do in this world. That is why Krishna is saying there, whatever activity we are doing, you can see the Bhagavata Dharma definition itself. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyalpanava prakriti svabhava. According to our prakriti, svabhavam, whatever we are doing, that's all it says. It doesn't say you have to do big things. Whatever that is coming through this body due to prarabdha karma, do that and surrender to Krishna. That's all Krishna is asking. Krishna is not saying you have to do big projects and all that. Krishna is saying കായേന വാച മനസേന്ദ്രിയേർവ ബുദ്ധ്യാത്മനാവ പ്രകൃതേ സ്വഭാവ ഡ്യൂ ടു ദ നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് ദി പ്രകൃതി ഓ സ്വഭാവം വാട്ട് എവർ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ത്രൂ ദിസ് ബോഡി ഡു ദാറ്റ് ബട്ട് കരോതി കരോമി യദ്യത് സകലം പരസ്മൈ making that as that Krishna is doing it through this body. You see, the idea is not doing big thing. The idea is escaping from kartrutvam. That is the idea. Not doing big thing. If you escape from kartrutvam, then your karma is successful. But if you have done a big thing and thinking that I have done such a big thing, there is no success in there. Do you understand the subtlety of that? Why? That is why Vaidika Samskaram is different. Vaidika Samskaram is teaching us, Vedic Samskaram is teaching us, doing big thing is not important. And thinking that, oh, I've done such a big thing, the whole world is appreciating what I've done. That is not the success of the karma. Success of the karma is doing small thing, but doing it in such a way that kartrutvam is not there. If you have managed to do something so that the kartrutva buddhi doesn't stay inside, then that karma is successful. Whereas if you have done a very $1 billion project, but we are so identified and attached to it, because normally that's what happens, isn't it? When you do a very huge project, if you manage, normally identification will be very strong in that. People won't get sleep at night. They have to work months and years together to get their project through. They are thinking that if I do something big like that, Krishna will be pleased with me. No, Shastram doesn't approve that. Shastram is telling us, doing big is not important. Whatever is doing, happening through you, and if it is a small karma, it is easier to get rid of the kartrutvam from inside. That is the subtle principle behind it. If you do a big karma, the possibility is that the identification will be so strong, it will be so difficult to get rid of the kartrutvam from inside. Whereas a small karma, ordinary people, small karma like cooking in the kitchen, nobody will be envious of you if you are cooking a lot in the kitchen, would you? No. Nobody. This is the advantage by doing smaller things. We think doing big, when you do big things, people become envious, people become try to create trouble for you, all kinds of things they will do. But if you do small things in life, nobody will feel envious of you. They will let you go. Ah, oh, he's a smaller person, he's not a headache, they'll say. So remaining in that way, advantage of that is, kartrutvam will go from inside. Kartrutva buddhi, that is the most difficult thing to get rid of. And getting rid of that kartrutvam. Kartrutvam means, you know what I mean, I am the doer. I am the doer, that has to go from inside. That is what Krishna is saying here. That Muchikunda's lamentation is because of this. He says, I took all this shelter, all this control of so many big palaces and the whole empire, and with such a huge army and a huge palace and everything I had, and I lived in all these things. The result is that I was so strongly identifying with everything in my kingdom. I am, everything, isn't it? And now he is saying that at this point in time in my life, I am seeing how difficult it is now for me to come out of it. He is lamenting to Krishna that this has happened in my life. What can I do? The important thing we have to learn from this is, Vaidika principle is like that. Smaller, the beautiful. Beautiful in the sense that smaller things won't bind you so strongly as big things. Bigger things means bigger bondage. Smaller things means smaller bondage. You can break it away very easily. That's the advantage. Because people think that, oh, what do they think about me? I'm just cooking in the kitchen. I'm doing some work in the kitchen. Nobody gives me any importance. Somebody else is GBC or president or something like that. He must be doing big, big things in this world. We think like that. But what Shastram is saying, you remain in the kitchen, it's better for you. Because in doing that way, you won't feel too much identification. I am the doer, it is easier to take it out from inside. That kartrutva buddhi. Kartrutva buddhi, easy to take it out. So there, the point is this, that so, little things like gardening work or any other smaller jobs, if we can live with that, manage life in that way, it is always better. For example, so by doing in that way, kartrutva buddhi will not develop inside, one. Secondly, it will not unnecessarily entangle also in life. Entanglement won't happen. So, therefore, it gives an opportunity to chant the holy name, or to read Srimad Bhagavatam and in that way. So, and if we continue doing that, Krishna is saying that in due course of time, it will develop some great spiritual happiness inside. And on the other hand, the minimum vyavaharam will help to develop purnatvam inside. The less the vyavaharam, transactions in this world, it develops more perfection inside. Inside perfection will be better in their mind. There are many people in this world, you may or may not have noticed them. But you will see like that, some people satisfied with what they have got, doing some little small job somewhere, no big plans to conquer the world or to acquire much in this world, satisfied with what they have got and living a life in that way. Because it does help to create that shanti inside. Kartrutva buddhi doesn't work so strongly in them. So this increasing the vyavaharam, increasing the unnecessarily itself is a disease. Increasing the vyavaharam unnecessarily itself is a disease. And not knowing that bhakti, jnanam and shanti, this is all the goal of life, not this big vyavaharam in this world. So, and that does not require much of a vyavaharam. To develop bhakti, to develop jnanam, to develop shanti inside, doesn't require much of a vyavaharam in this world. Much of a vyavaharam in this world. Whatever, if you know what I'm saying, vyavahara means the dealings in this world, transactions or whatever we may like to call it. Yeah. So as soon as you keep on increasing this vyavaharam in this world, then you can see whatever vyavaharam that comes due to prarabdham, because prarabdham brings some vyavaharam to all of us, isn't it? We are forced to do something in this world to make a living. That is prarabdha vyavaharam. That will not cause much of a problem. What has come through prarabdham, it will not cause. But if you extract more and more vyavaharam in this world, and that will create distress. That will create distress. That is how it is. Then sometimes we get this idea that that vyavaharam won't do anything. I am beyond than the vyavaharam. It's not like that. As soon as you enter into vyavaharam, it does bring the problems also with that. Problems also with that. There is no question about that. So, so whatever vyavaharam that comes through this body due to prarabdham, that will not cause much of a trouble. That will not cause a lot of damage to us. Because it has come through prarabdham, you will see that the identification will not be very strong with that. Just like some people have to work for a few hours in a day somewhere, just to keep the day ticking. It doesn't matter, because you know that it's going to finish one day and it is not a permanent thing. And also for the maintenance of the body, you have to do it. In a very light-hearted way, you can handle that work. But if you create projects which requires 24 hours engagement, traveling all around the world and meeting all these big people and big managers and all discussions and all sorts of, you know, how the empires work, business empires in this world. That has come through prarabdham. That's a lot of it is unnecessary vyavaharam they have pulled into their life because they don't know what life is meant for. Then the mind starts working, mind starts dictating and telling us, though I should be doing this, I should be expanding this business in this way, that way, like this, it on and on and on it goes. And when it expands like that, that is called vibhrandi inside, manovibhrandi. So once that has developed, once that vibhrandi has developed in a person, that is not prarabdha vyavaharam. It is something that we have pulled into our own life due to ignorance inside us. Due to ignorance inside us. That vyavaharam will create a lot of distress. You can look at this. I can give you so many examples. If you are reading the newspaper, you will see this every day and night happening. In so many big people's life, how due to their unnecessary vyavaharam in this world, how they have got into trouble. That they thought they are doing the right thing because that's all what they know. They don't know anything about this life. All they knew that I have to develop the business, make a lot of profit for the company. I should come to the top somehow or the other. This illusion in their head has been working. They couldn't live simple in that, satisfied with their life. So result, and something goes wrong somewhere, and then the whole life goes into problems, completely disturbed and total distress from that. It happens all the time, especially in the modern industrial world and business world. It's always happening, one after the other. So many examples. If you are reading newspaper, these are things, interesting things in the newspaper will tell you what all is happening in this world. People do all sorts of things. Because inside, no knowledge. What should I do in this world? Cannot control the mind. It's demanding and dictating many things from inside the mind. And he just follows that. So anyway, so Mujgunda is also saying here that if first thing is to reduce that vyavaharam in this world, because Mujgunda was caught up in this vyavaharam to a very large extent. That's why he's saying here. Though he says, ultimately, I could not come out of this vyavaharam, he says. I could not come out of this vyavaharam. He says like this. Ultimately, I could not come out of this vyavaharam. He says, therefore, in that situation, I have come here and I went to, even he considered that when the Indra invited him to come to the heavenly planet, he took that opportunity to go there. As though it was not sufficient in this world. He couldn't say no to Indra. He said, oh no, I'll come there. Let me see what I can do. So he goes there. That means increasing the vyavaharam again, isn't it? He had enough vyavaharam in this world. The whole planet is under the control. Still not satisfied. Goes there to help Indra there. He mentions here that he gave me an opportunity. Indra invited him. I went there. He's saying to Krishna. And when I went there, that at the end of the war, when the war was over, they gave me a benediction also. That they asked me what I want. I said, I told them that what I want now is that I've seen the earthly planet, I've seen this heavenly planet also, but none of them is satisfying me. I just want to free myself from this life here. I want to have something different then. I was coming to understand that all this is useless, waste of time. He says to Indra. So Indra says to him that as far as liberation and all concerned, we can't do anything about it because we also want the liberation. We are not in a position to offer that to you. But any other thing, if you want, we can offer that to you. So Mujgunda says that I thought about it and I thought that I have done so much in this world and in the heavenly planets also that I don't think I should be doing this forever like this. So, because by doing, I've ended up like this now. I'm not able to escape from this entanglement. So, at least let me go and lie down somewhere. At least in the sleep, I won't do anything more. That was the idea behind asking that benediction. That's why he asked that benediction. That at least if I go to sleep, sleep is one way, it is a shelter that way, isn't it? Once you go into good deep sleep, at least you won't do any vigarmam. That much is guaranteed. Which means what? You won't create any new karma vasana inside. That was the reason why he asked for sleep. You may wonder why, what a benediction to ask. People think that, have you heard anyone asking for a blessing from demigods to give me a blessing so that I can sleep well? Nobody does that, that's it. I mean, it's an unusual thing, benediction. But the subtle thing behind that is this, that he realized it, that if I am awake and my nature is like this, that I'll go and do so many nonsense in this world. And which the result is that I will be more bound by that. That's the point, that's his point. He's saying I'll be bound in this world more and more. And I don't want that to happen anymore, so let me sleep. So give me a benediction so that I can sleep. Demigods laughed when he asked for a benediction like this. After fighting all this big war in the heavenly planets, this is the benediction he had to ask. And demigods thought that he may ask for something different, that to have all the material opulences and all did not attract Mujgunda anymore. So he says to them that That is a sign that Vairagyam is developing inside. This is how Vairagyam comes to a person. Muchikunda's heart is telling him that all this is not worth the while. What is going on here? So he says to him that give me this, I couldn't come out of my Vyavaharam, he says. I could not escape from that. Because Vyavaharam, what it does is, it binds you from all sides and you don't know how to escape from that. Most of us are caught up in that world, isn't it? Vyavaharam catches us in such a way that we don't know how to escape from that. We just have no choice. Either when we have signed our appointment order or anything, whatever we have signed up, agreement with the management where we have accepted the working conditions, it says that you have to be present there from between this and these timings and so many days in a week, and you have got so many days, holidays and everything. There itself you have written off your freedom for them already. You have given up your freedom there, isn't it? So he says here that this, what has happened to me, he says, is a big thing. Because when I took that benediction from the demigods and I had come here, I escaped from this empire, managing the empire business. I didn't have to go back and take control of the administration. Because what happened was, he went to the heavenly planets and spent a long time there, in the heavenly planets also. When he came back, he says that because of this blessing, they told me that you can go into the forest and lie there and sleep. That's how they sent me back here from the heavenly planet. So I came here and that's why I'm lying in this cave and sleeping here. A king who is used to the very highest state of comforts and facilities in this world, coming and sleeping in a cave in a forest. And he said, this is something good that has happened to me. What is that? The kingdom I was ruling has left me. I never went back to inquire about it. What has happened, I don't know, but it's not my concern anymore. A big relief in Muchikunda's life, he felt. And exactly the same thing Parikshit also said. It's a big relief, he said. It's a big relief that Sringi has cursed me. In 7 days' time, I don't have to worry about this kingdom and managing this kingdom. This is how they thought about life. Just try to understand their way of thinking. Parikshit, a big emperor. And it is not easy, their life. All the time they have to be very cautious about the management of the kingdom, isn't it? Enemies could be there in the kingdom. You can see when Kali came up, how Parikshit had to deal with them. And so many problems inside the kingdom also. And Kshatriya kings, normally there will always be somebody planning, plotting behind for a coup, and things like that can happen. So kings have to be always conscious and alert about so many things in this world. Their life is also not so easy. Although material sense gratification is concerned, they have good facilities. But at the same time, they also have great anxiety in their life about the management, administration, everything. So that is why Parikshit says, when he was cursed, oh, from at least in 7 days' time, this whole headache is over. He says, he didn't want that anymore, to hold on to it. So that is why he says there that, here he says that in the 54th verse, you will see there that, what's this? Muchikunda says in verse 54, that is an important verse in the Muchikunda's prayers, that verse. What does he say? Bhavapavargo brahmado yada bhavil janasya tarhya chuda sangama sal samagamam sal sangamo yarhita daiva salgado paravareshe tui jayate mati. Bhavapavargo brahmado yada bhavil janasya tarhya chuda sal samagamaha salsangamo yarhita daiva salgado paravareshe tui jayate mati. He says, Achyuta, addressing Krishna, he says to him that when one is rotating in this world, in this material life, changing the material bodies one after the other, and moving in this creation like this, not knowing where he belongs to, not knowing what his real nature is. Today we have this body, next life we don't know where the body will be, in whose, who will be the parents, and which family will take birth, where we will take birth. All these things are unknown factors to us today. So he says here, Brahmato yadha bhaved. Brahmanam means this journey through the material existence, changing bodies and moving from one body to another, one planet to another, one species to another. In this way, this cycle is going on, he says. Brahmato yadha bhaved. So, only when Krishna's mercy comes, when that mercy comes, then, and when you are very close to get freed yourself from here, it is that time that Mujhukunda says, you get the opportunity for Salsangam. He is glorifying Salsangam here. You can see there, Bhavava Vargo Brahmato Yadha Bhavil Janasya Tarhyachyuta Salsamagamaha Salsangamo Yarhi Tadaiva Salgadau Paravareshe Tvai Jayate Mati. Salsangamo Yarhi Tadaiva Salgadau, he says. Salsangam will happen. When Salsangam happens, he says here, that Tadaiva Salgadau Paravareshe. Paravaresh means para. Para means soul, isn't it? Para, Paraprakriti, in other words. Paravareshe, our attention will turn towards the soul. When a little bit of mercy comes from Krishna, it is at that time we get an opportunity for Salsangam. Who says? Mujhukunda says. Mujhukunda is saying, Salsangam happens at that time. Paravareshe tvai jayate mati. And our mind will start looking in that direction. Our thoughts will go in that direction, he says. That, why? Salsangamo yarhi tadaiva sangado paravareshe tvai jayate mati. And the mind will become serious. Little by little it will start taking that serious. Shraddha will develop at that time to a smaller degree in us. Through Salsangam that happens. Mentions here, Mujhukunda says like this, isn't it? So, he says that while you are moving around in this material world, changing the bodies from one to another, and rotating the soul, leaving one body to another and moving one planet, one species and one place to another, what will happen, he says here, that the only relief what he has is, just like in the desert, sometimes you will find somewhere a little bit of green. When you see that, you will know that there is possibility of some water close by. That's why the plants are there, growing there, isn't it? So similarly, when we are struggling in this material existence, in this way, so when you get an opportunity to come to a Salsangam, or to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimal Bhagavatam, Mujhukunda says, that is Salsangam. That is Salsangam. And that is where that you will get the association of the devotees. And then when you get that Salsangam, Yada, he says here, Sukham. You get happiness at that time. And what is advantage? When Salsangam happens, the goal of life becomes Krishna. Krishna becomes the goal of life. That is the benefit of Salsangam. No other benefit. Krishna becomes the goal of life. That is the advantage of Salsangam. When there is no Salsangam, what happens? All other things becomes the goal of life in this world. Is it not? That is the way it works. That Salsangam makes Krishna as the goal of life in this world. And otherwise, that is why Krishna mentions that in the second chapter. You know what Krishna says there? If you look into the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say there? Bahushaga anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. There is a statement there in the second chapter. Vyavasayalpmiya buddhi egeha kurunandanam. Bahushaga anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. That's the verse. I think it is 41, second chapter, 41. That is what he's referring to. Muchukunda is saying the same thing. Yeah? Vyavasaya alpiya buddhi egeha kurunandana bahushaka anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam.
That means when the goal is not fixed in spiritual life, and when the goal is not properly understood, the goal of spiritual life, that is self-realization or realizing the truth. If that's not happened, then their mind, bahushakha, it has got many branches. It'll go, you know, today one will say, oh, this is my goal. And tomorrow you'll reach that goal and you will find some other goal next day. And then you'll try to get to that goal. Then when you get that or you don't get it, you'll try for some other goal. Like this, the mind dictates everything from inside. Vyavasayalpiya buddhi ekeha kurunandana bahushaka anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. So vyavasayalpiya buddhi, Krishna talks about that in the Bhagavad Gita. That is the that kind of buddhi, intelligence. So one, not one goal, many goals at that time. That is what will happen. So, and intelligence, what happens to intelligence? Bahushakha. It starts breaking up in different ways. We have a certain intelligence, but that intelligence will break up into many branches, many, many branches. Because it doesn't have one goal, it will go into different directions. It will go in one direction today, and it may have some other direction somewhere else, it will go in another direction. Like this, bahushaka anandascha. Krishna is saying that it is unlimited branches. Buddhayo avyavasayinam, buddhayo avyavasayinam. Krishna says, but when this goal happens, self-realization, Krishna consciousness, in other words, once that happens, it is something like, you know, when you are rowing the boat, you hold on to that, isn't it? That, what do they call the thing, which you are holding on to that and you are rowing the boat. Yeah. Hold on to that and you are rowing the boat in the same way. So, because this goal is a permanent goal. All other goals are very, very temporary. After some time, the other goal is finished. Either you got it, reached there, or you didn't get it there, whatever it is. So, falguliyade idi phalam. So, all other goals which comes from karmam, which comes from work, in other words, so that will all finish one day. It cannot stay forever. Little goals we create like this. But he mentions here that the absolute goal or absolute truth, paramarthikam, that goal, when that goal comes in life, that comes in satsangam only. Only in satsangam that goal will develop, which means self-realization will become a goal only through satsangam, not through any other way, isn't it? He mentions that salsangamo yarhi. If you look that the word bhavaba in that verse, he mentions there the verse 454. Salsangamo yarhi tadaiva salgado paravareshe tvai jayate mati. Salsangam, he mentions again there. Salsangamo yarhi. That is when it happens, he says. Yarhi salsangamo yarhi tadeva salgadau paravareshe toyi jayate mati. Paravareshe toyi jayate mati. Bhava bhavargo brahmado yada bhavel janasya tarhyachuda salsamagamaha salsangamo yarhi tadeva salgadau paravareshe toyi jayate mati. So, Krishna has spoken about salsangam in the 11th canto, 12th chapter. One whole chapter is about salsangam. Krishna talks about that. Here, devotee Muchukunda is saying exactly the same thing. Because Muchukunda was a big emperor and he had no time for studying seriously shastram or anything. Unless he gets salsangam, there is no possibility for him to escape from this. Because he is so caught up in life. Is it not? You can see that. He's saying, I was so caught up in my life with all my burden I had of managing this planet and managing the heavenly planet or wherever he was invited to go and involve in all that. So he's repenting on that and saying that what opportunity do I have if I don't get salsangam? How will that happen to me?
So he is glorifying Satsangam here and mentioning that very important point in one's life, especially to those who are very caught up in life, who are very caught up in their life. For them, he is saying that. Paravare, he uses the word paravare. Have you noticed that word? Paravare means our material life, normal material life and our spiritual goal, when they become one, it's called paravare. You are doing your material life what is necessary, in other words. Your material life is going on, at the same time the goal is spiritual. If it becomes like that, it is called paravare. Paravare, he mentions, uses that word there, isn't it? Paravareshe tvai jayate mati. Paravareshe tvai jayate mati. So in paravaram, what it is, there is no two things. Now, lot of us, we get confused sometimes. We think, sometimes we get so absorbed in material life, and then we think that, oh, it's too much for me to handle everything. We feel a little bit stressed out with spiritual life and material life, everything. I can't do everything. You feel like that sometimes. Sometimes it happens when a lot of pressure builds up in life, isn't it? So, at that time, if you remember this, that paravareshe tvai jayate mati, he's saying here that there is no two things. Material life and spiritual life is not two different life. That has to go first. Why? Because material life and spiritual life, they are not two different things. Our simple life, everyday life, gets diminished. In other words, it becomes, in a sense, that the simple life what we live in this world, it becomes divine, divinized, in other words, you can say. That is the way it has to happen. That we normally we all have separate things, isn't it? We think that I'm having one life, I have to do all the other kind of work, which I don't consider it anymore spiritual. Only spiritual activities, chanting the holy name, if I go to the temple or absorb in Bhagavatam, that is spiritual life, you think. That has to go from inside. Whole life has to become Krishna conscious, divinized, in other words. That is what he is saying, paravareshya means. That means there is no two different life there. No more material life and spiritual life. Many people we all have this difficulty. Not that only one person. All of us have this difficulty. When we go to work, we curse. And then we come and go to the temple, we curse there also. So that way it should not happen. It shouldn't happen that way. Because people have this difficulty. Sometimes we get confused also. I'm not experiencing anything in spiritual life. What am I doing? I'm not getting anywhere. Material life also, there is not very higher goal. I have to just pass on in this world. So you start feeling that there is no happiness in this side, or there's no happiness in the other side either. This situation should not happen. That is why Muchukunda is mentioning there, paravareshe tvai jayate mati. Life has to become paravaram. Paravaram means that there is no separation between material life and spiritual life. Always to be alert that material life, whatever is coming, that is prarabdham. If you understand that and accept it that way, then there is nothing much to complain about it. But don't endeavor too much to increase that vyavaharam to more than what is already there. When there is so many obstacles coming and taking a lot of our time, you can understand that it is only due to prarabdham. Prarabdham is coming in that form. Father, mother, prarabdham. Wife, children, prarabdham. Husband, prarabdham. All of them belongs to that one category only. We somehow identify with, I am the doer, I have to do all these things, I have to manage this, I have to do this. When that identification starts, prarabdham pulls very strong. The pull of the prarabdham becomes very strong. That's what happens basically. So it is then that we have to remember this. If prarabdham is getting stronger, not to get pulled by that force and get disturbed over it, because Krishna is saying, Muchukunda is saying here, paravareshe tvai jayate mati, that somehow this paravaratvam, it is called paravaratvam. Paravaratvam means material life is going on, it will go on like this. What will happen? Who knows about the material life? You can do what you can within your capacity. Beyond than that, there is no other thing what you have to turn upside down in this world. So many things will come in life in one form or the other. It will come, take away, distress, give you a lot of trouble, and it will go, and you can take it, that prarabdham is over. That's all it is. So nothing more than that. That prarabdham is finished. But if we understand that and then don't get affected by that, but the other side of it, paravareshetu jayate madhi, that Krishna, Mujgunda is saying that if I have come to that understanding that the goal of life is spiritual, that itself is my greatest success in life. If I at least understood that is the goal, and that only happens in satsangam. He says, you can see this in great devotees' life, this is what has happened. Then, and you don't have to do anything special for that. You don't have to do anything special for that. If you take, for example, all those great saintly devotees from Maharashtra, look at their life. One of them was a tailor. One of them was a cobbler. One of them was a potter. One of them was a gardener. One of them was a gardener. One of them was a grocer. All of them, you can see. You can internet, you see enough of their life, what they have done. Each one of them. None of them were sannyasis, were they? None of them were sannyasis. Only in Jnaneshwar's case, it was a little different. But Jnaneshwar was another personality who has come not due to pure prarabdham, but more to it than that. But leaving aside all Tukaram, Namadev, Ekanath and all that, if you look at their life, they all came from different professions. Did they not? On the society where they lived at that particular time, if you look at them, they were not very high flyers, were they? They were not chief executive or vice president or GBC or whatever. None of them were there. They were ordinary people. One of them was a tailor. One of them was a potter. One of them was a gardener. One of them was a grocer. And one of them was a cobbler. All of them, and you read through their life, Gaura Kumbhar and Tukaram, Namadev, Eganath, all of them, if you read through, you will see. By their karmam, they did ordinary jobs, like many people do in this world. So, what happened to them? They executed that work, whatever they had, it was not perfect, doesn't matter. It was not perfect, none of them were perfect in their work. Particularly, Tukaram had to go through so much problem with his wife because she was so upset with him that he was not doing his householder responsibility very well, but didn't matter much. But at the end, Krishna sorted out all that at the end. At the end, Krishna sorted that out. The point is here, Bhagavata Dharma is like that. That we have to do whatever karma has come to life, we have to do that. But apart from that, all of them were self-realized souls. They got what has to be got from this life. That's their success. Each one of them, Namadev, Tukaram, Ekanath, all of Gaura Kumar, all of them got from the life what one should get at the end. None of them were fighting for positions. None of them were looking for followers. None of them were looking for money or wealth. All those things, they stayed out of it. They just executed their bhakti. And through bhakti process, they got back to Krishna. At the same time, they didn't do anything special in this world. If you look into their life, you will see. They have not done anything special in this world. So, but they did their work, what they had to do. And some people, they came to a stage where they could not do their karma. They could not do their karma properly. Like Tukaram and all that came to a state like that. They couldn't execute their karma properly. But karma won't leave them. It has come to such a stage. So, still they did something, little bit here and there. What can you do? You're born in this world. That was their attitude. We are born in this world. And we have to do something in this world, therefore. And for the maintaining this body, something has to be done. That was there. And Krishna has put some capacity in everyone's body to maintain the body, to work, to do some work in this world. Krishna has put some capacity in every body. When he has material nature gives us this body, it also has put some capacity in this body to earn a livelihood somehow, to maintain this body. So that is material nature's arrangement. And that we are doing, and that itself is bhakti. That itself is bhakti. So you can remember Kabir's life, if you look, he was a weaver, isn't it? He was weaving clothes. And he did that till the very end of his life. Till the very end of his life, Kabir was weaving the clothes. What does it mean? They were devotees, but it did not distract them from what they had to do. For main attitude was, to maintain the body, I have to do something. So that was his hereditary engagement or inherited way. That was the karma that he had to go through. He has put in that position. Of course, in those days, people followed that tradition very well, that they didn't have the anxiety of finding out what job they should do. He was born in a family like that. Weaving was their profession. So he followed that. Same thing with Tukaram also. There is also in the same way. So, many devotees ask Kabir, why are you working like this? So, Kabir's answer was, I'm not doing any work. This is my worship, he said. That's how he took it. So, from this thing you can understand that dharmam, swadharmam, what has come like that, to make it as a worship is possible. That karma which has come through our life in that way, to make it as a worship of Krishna is possible. But paradharmam, if you take it, you cannot make it as a worship. There is two things here, swadharmam and paradharmam. Krishna mentions this. Remember when we talked about varnashrama dharmam in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that why varnashrama dharmam has the advantage. What's the advantage of varnashrama dharmam? Let me tell you that the way today the research is going on, because all over the world now, the scientists are also realizing what they call it as the social engineering, isn't it? How the society should function. They have tried various things like capitalism, communism, and a society where they want everybody should work hard and aim at the top. So that, and now psychologists and all are coming up with some idea that there's something fundamentally wrong with the society. If everyone in the world has been given a goal that they should be on the top, there can be only one person at the top. All of us cannot be on the top. Actually, they started realizing it's unnecessarily creating stress in life, people's life, and unnecessarily they are being pulled into complicated, and it is causing more and more psychological problems, stress. And from that, psychological problems. So they have started looking at the life of the ancient culture. And they saw that this Varnashrama Dharma system looks more scientific in that way. Because by doing that, they started realizing that a person who is born in a particular family of trades, say carpenter or smithy or plumber or whatever it is, if by profession the family follows that profession, then all the members of the family follows the same profession and does not cause any stress in them. This is the Varnashram system, isn't it? Varnam is based on that. That you get your profession is already decided when you are born. Rather than at the age from 15 onwards, the stress builds up. Which way to go? What should I do in my life? Poor child doesn't know anything. And then parents say something. Society, so all the friends, everybody asking, what do you want to do in life? What do you want? Poor child, 15 years old, doesn't know anything about life. Everybody asking this question to the poor boy or girl, whoever it is. Then anxiety builds up. So like this, so you can see that Varnam was created on this principle. A Brahmana member, family member follows the Brahmana Dharmam, Kshatriya member follows Kshatra Dharmam, Vaishya member follows the Vaishya Dharmam. Krishna's point is, if you follow Swadharmam, it is very easy to do it. If you follow Paradharmam, it is very complicated then. It's difficult to get out of it. This is the very basic principle, and now many people are started appreciating this, but nobody knows how to bring it back into the society again, these thoughts. It's not possible to do it easily. Because already we have created this fever in people's mind that we have to aim very high. Aim to the top. So therefore he says, so paradharmam swadharmam, that difference we have to know very clearly what the difference is. What does paradharma means? Paradharma means if we in our ego inside detects to us something, or if I start thinking I have a lot to do in this world, to complete in this world, in that sankalpam inside, that thoughts in my head, or even if you think I have to do a lot of good things to others, or to do a lot of good in this world for others, and whatever you are doing in those directions, extra work, what is more than necessary for maintaining your body, that is all paradharmam. Paradharmam. You see how different the philosophies gets mixed up sometimes. Even though Krishna says to us that purpose of this life is to realize the self, realize the soul, realize what we are. That's the only goal as far as Krishna is concerned, defined. But you can see how in our society various ideas come from all sides and all gets mixed up. Then we start thinking, oh, I have to do a lot for the community. I have to do a lot for the society. And this is why Krishna has sent me here. It's an opportunity for service. This, that, so many other illusions builds up inside. And that is paradharmam. That is not swadharmam. That's paradharmam. Doing paradharmam, that is not swadharmam. Swadharmam is what is inherently, or not hereditary, by Krishna's arrangement, when you got the body, whatever. But when vanity steps in, when ego steps into it, or in other words, if I start thinking I have a lot of things to get done in this world, and at the same time, and some sankalpam builds up inside, or you start thinking I have to do a lot of good to others, even that is considered paradharmam. That is considered paradharmam. Actually, to reject that Krishna's control in this world and think that we playing God is not a good thing. It will all end up in distress at the end. There is no question about that. Many, many great personalities, they thought that they have to, they are doing because they do not recognize that Krishna is behind everything, Krishna's control over things, they took up the responsibility on themselves, and many people have ended up in frustration in life. At the end, it will all end up in the same way like Muchukunda is talking about. Nothing will gain from this life. It's all a waste of time at the end. So that's why it's mentioned here. If you do paradharmam, the disadvantage is the mind cannot remain in a samadhi state. It's not possible. Why is it like that? Reason is this. When you do paradharmam, you see the difference between swadharmam and paradharmam. Swadharmam is that dharmam that has come to you based on your birth or according to your tradition, whatever prarabdham has brought to you, some karmam it has put you there. And that is necessary for maintaining the body, some karmam you have to do in this world. There is no question. It is important. It is just to be done. But not thinking that my swadharmam, not giving any attention to swadharmam, but taking up all paradharmam on one shoulders and start getting involved in big projects and big things, and thinking due to vanity or ego inside, and start thinking that I have a lot of things to be done in this world for the sake of the society or community or this, that or the other, and you start doing so many other extra things you pull onto your head, and at the same time, and all that will be categorized in paradharmam. And if you do that paradharmam, mind will never stay in the samadhi state. It is not possible. whatever you have got in automatically, what has come in life, janma siddham, janmana siddham means by birth or whatever it has come, if you remain within the vyavahara, within the circle of that vyavaharam, what has come like that, that is what is called swadharmam. That means that what has come to you, janmana siddham, that means it come through either through birth or the prarabdham has taken you and put you in some position, and being satisfied with that, if you stay within the circle of that, if you stay within that, How do you know that you are within that circle? The circle, it is like this. That karma which Krishna has given to us, and if you remain within that circle, Krishna is saying, Yoga Kshemam Mahamiham. That is the answer to that. You will see a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas Chindayandomam Yejanam Pariyubhasade Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Mahamiham. You remember that verse? It's in, I think, 9th chapter, I think. You can look at that. There you will see there that Ananyas Chindayandomam Yejanam Pariyubhasade. His upasana, his Krishna consciousness, is very much based on spiritual principles. It's not based on mental speculation. That person, Krishna is saying, Yoga Kshemam Mahamyaham. I look after his yogam, I look after his kshemam. Both. 922. Yeah. Ananyas Chindayandomam. These verses are very important in the Bhagavad Gita because it is linked with your life in this world and how you take Bhagavad Gita. That is more important than anything else. Bhagavad Gita is telling us, look, these are the principles of life. If you follow this, success is guaranteed. At least we should know that, even if you are unable to do it completely. At least we should know what is the right thing, isn't it? Otherwise, mind will tell you many, many things in this world. Krishna is saying, Ananyas Chindayandomam Yojanam Paripasade Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. That Yoga Kshemam Mahamyaham is an important statement in the Bhagavad Gita. Yogam and Kshemam, both. Yogam and Kshemam. So Krishna says here that if you follow that Yoga Kshemam for that purpose, you will not have to put a lot of endeavor in that direction. Because in that karmam, if you follow that process of karmam, arti won't come. Arti means the distress. Arti and also other distress will not come from that kind of karma if it is executed. So, because the reason is that any karma we do, if we can do without unnecessarily torturing the mind, that is the best karma. We always think that, oh, sometimes like the scientists and all, they break their head, nerves, everything and absorbs, isn't it? Big people, engineers and professional people, management. They all end up in become alcoholics or other problems. Why does that happen? Because that is not what Krishna expects us to do. Krishna is saying to us that if you have a karma which will not unnecessarily disturb your tranquility inside, that peace inside, that is the best karma. That is the best karma. Because mind, any karma, if the mind gets too absorbed in that, it is a headache. It will cause problems. Whereas, if simple things in life, the beauty of that is simple work, simple activities at home. For example, people who are cooking, mothers who are cooking at home, they got used to cooking for so long that everything happens in a natural way for them. They don't have to think a lot before cooking. Isn't it? After a while, I'm saying, they get so used to it, they know everything, what they have to do, and it becomes a part. That means the mind does not get too pulled into it. It's the advantage of that. So, if any karma is like that, that is swadharma. That is swadharma. That is how you have to see swadharma. Swadharma means that karma which will not disturb your mind unnecessarily. The minimum involvement of the mind. You may think all this is completely against the modern way of life, is it not? That's why it's a little bit difficult to get this point across. From the Shastram point of view, any karma that gives you the least headache or least involvement of the mind and intelligence, that is the best karma. In the modern world, it's right the opposite. If you are caught up in that 24 hours, you have to work day after day, or a lot of involvement with your mind and intelligence, then in the modern world, it says, I'm very busy. I'm so busy I am. That's how they think about it, isn't it? Oh, I have no time to talk to you. I don't have time to talk to anybody. This becomes like that. And that is not a good thing, because Krishna is saying here that you will never have any shanti any time in life. Any shanti, any time in life, he says here. So if you follow, Krishna is saying here that if it is an activity, pravritti, in such a way, that is, in a natural way it's happening, because you can see this, for example, in the olden days, we are saying, now it is too complicated everything. It's so complex now. We don't know what we have to say about this modern world. So anyway, in the past, when Varna system was followed, you can notice this. The farmer from his family did the farming, isn't it? And that farming was such that children naturally picked up everything what they have to know at a very early age in life. And they continued with that activity. Same thing with all other professions also, in the same way they did. So, from then onwards, you can see that Varna Dharmam functioned very well in those days. Krishna's point is, if it is like that, the work that is done with the least interference of the mind and the intelligence, then that is Swadharmam. And there your samadhi state will not be disturbed. Your state of samadhi will remain. So, whereas any other karma which you have pulled into your life, and if you start doing that, it will disturb your mind. Samahita sthiti, it is called. Jnanis call it as samahita sthiti. Samahita sthiti means the balanced state of mind. That is not possible. So it will become disturbed. Therefore, that is a symptom of all that. Therefore, even our little life in this world, which lasts only 40-50 years in a serious way, whatever happens here, that if you want to fill that with Krishna consciousness, then if you can fill that with Krishna consciousness, Krishna is, Mujukunda is saying here, paravaratvam will come from that. Otherwise, it is called avaram and param. Avaram and param. This material life and spiritual life. Avaram and param. Whereas paravaratva means there is no material life, there is no spiritual life, there is only one life that is going back to Krishna. We'll discuss it after a few minutes. Bhava bhavargo bhramado yada bhavil. Verse 54. Bhava bhavargo bhramado yada bhavil. Janasya tarhyachyuda sal samagama sal sangamo yarhi tadaiva sal gadau paravareshe tvai jayate madim. Sal sangamo yarhi tadaiva sal gadau paravareshe tvai jayate madim. Mujukunda says to Krishna, paravareshe tvai jayate mati. Paravaratvam it is called. Paravaratvam means this separation between material life and spiritual life must go. It should not stay like that. But due to our conditioning in life, we always separate it, isn't it? We think that material life is one thing, spiritual life is another thing. That separation must go. That is what the goal behind that is. So, paravaratvam, Taimanavar addresses Krishna is paravare, he calls him like that. Paravare, he mentions like that. So, param, aparam, two things. Param, aparam. Paravare, tvai, both are Krishna actually. Param, aparam is also Krishna, isn't it? Paraprakriti, aparaprakriti is also Krishna. But the difference is, the soul belongs to paraprakriti. The body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything belongs to aparaprakriti. But both are Krishna at the end. Both are come from Krishna. So in other words, it's Krishna is present in the Paraprakriti, Krishna is present in the Avaraprakriti also. It's also a transformed form of Krishna. It's another transformation. So here, that is why only then that words in the Upanishad will be true, because Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachade. Krishna is complete in all the time. Purnasya, Purnam, Adaya, Purnameva, Avashishade. That verse becomes correct only if we don't have this separation inside. Separation should not happen there. So that experientially, that division must go. The division between param, aparam, in experience it must go, not theoretically. That's why. So not simply saying that life in this world is also Brahmam. If you say like that, it's not enough. In experience, in our own anubhavam, it has to, that division must go. And in order to that to happen, the life has to be simple. Otherwise it won't happen. Only if the life is simple, it is easy to break away that separation. Suppose you are very complicated and confused with the material life itself, then if you tell that person, look, your spiritual life and material life should be one, it won't happen. Suppose your material life is very complicated. Complicated in the sense that it is mixed up and messed up in every way possible. If it is like that, to bring that simplicity into it is very difficult. It's understandable, isn't it? If you have to do some work in this world, if it simply gets through the body and done and finished with it, then it is not a burden anymore. It's not creating new vasana inside. It's not creating any kartrutvam inside. It is done for the sake of the body, and that is not going to cause any problems. That's not going to cause any problem. It won't do any damage to our spiritual position. Whereas if the material life is so complicated, completely with a lot of vavaharam and responsibilities and this, that and the other, then what will happen is that paravaratvam won't happen, what Mujigunda is saying here. Mujigunda is saying from his own experience, what he had to go through. He has messed up his own life to such an extent, he's regretting about it now, saying to Krishna that I had taken up all this on my shoulders, all this headache unnecessary. Now at least I have escaped from that empire business, kingdom business. Somehow you have brought me to this state. It's good that I don't have to worry about all that, those things. But Parikshit spoke exactly the same thing. So anyone who is on his way to spiritual life and self-realization, they have to think in this direction. That is why these two personalities' response in the Bhagavatam is only for this reason, spoken like that. So that's why it mentions like that, that first you have to give respect to the simple things in life. Otherwise it's not possible. That's why it mentions there, initially you have to bring Krishna consciousness in our own life at home. In life at home. Because even only little things, if Krishna comes in, that is the Bhagavata Sampradaya. Bhagavata principle is like that, naturally. So you can see this throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, this principle. This principle is applied throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kunti Devi, going through all her family problems, still staying Krishna conscious. Bhishma, caught up with Duryodhana and the Mahabharata war, still staying Krishna conscious. Is it not? Chitrakedu, a king who had to go through all sorts of problems, attachment with the child, everything, got Vritrasura's body, so many things happened, but still remaining Krishna conscious. Gopis, ordinary people, lived in Vrindavanam and executed their normal life, still made progress in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness. Each and every one of them, Akrura, for example, you take, Akrura was a Yadava who lived in Dwaraka at Krishna's time, run away from Dwaraka for some time due to some misunderstanding with Satrajit and others, Shatanyav and all, you will see, but again Krishna brings him back. None of these personalities were sannyasis, were they? They were not sannyasis. They were ordinary people, lived in this world, but Srimad Bhagavatam has taken them and glorified them. Why? Why is it like that? So, this here, the difference is this. Although Srimad Bhagavatam is talking to us Vedanta philosophy, very much so, difference is, Vedanta philosophy and Srimad Bhagavatam, practically there is no difference. Practical application is the difference. For example, what is the difference? In Srimad Bhagavatam, the difference is, whichever position you are situated at the moment, stay in that position and execute bhakti, Bhagavata Dharma. That is Srimad Bhagavatam is saying here. For this purpose, you don't have to take sannyasam or any other run away from home or engage in any other dress, take up another dress or danda or water pot or saffron, all these things. Bhagavatam is not asking us to follow. Whichever karmam you are doing, while engaging in that karmam itself, and wherever Krishna has put you in the present situation, bring knowledge into it and realize the truth. That is the Bhagavata Siddhantam. Bhagavata Siddhantam is like that. that whatever position Krishna has put us in this world, being situated in this world, keep it as simple as possible and not and bring knowledge into that life and do not worry too much about the organization and all the other requirements. Like in Vedantam, normally it's not like that, isn't it? Vedantam talks about this Varnam Ashramam always. Varnam Ashram Dharmam is a part of the Vedanta philosophy. They insist that you should go through Brahmachari life, Grihastha life, Vanaprastha life, Sannyasa life, like that. All those four ashramam is a part of the Vedanta tradition. But what's happening in that tradition and what's happening in Bhagavata Dharmam is one and the same. It's not different. But only thing is, in order to execute this Bhagavata Dharmam, the life should be kept simple. That's the main. That is where it says there, whatever prarabdham has brought that karmam, you should do it and get it done through the body. Not more than that. Don't unnecessarily increase that prarabdham or vyavaharam in this world. That is how it mentions there. What will happen to that person who is following Bhagavata Dharmam and who acquires knowledge? Who acquires knowledge in Bhagavata Dharmam? What will happen to him? That we will see later. Because jnanam, knowledge, is like this. When light comes, darkness goes. Isn't it? Immediately it goes away. Similarly, when the self-realization happens, or Paramahamsattvam, it's Paramahamsa it's called, isn't it? Paramahamsattvam. When that comes, it comes, gives to you, that when the knowledge comes in, it gives that to you. But don't try to go in that direction thinking that I'll become a Paramahamsa by changing the dress. Point is this. While executing Bhagavata Dharmam, the goal is not to become a sannyasi, not to become another changing your position. Whatever position is there in life, doesn't matter what it is. Like the devotees have shown to Karam and others in the life, that in Bhagavata Dharmam, don't change your position. Wherever destiny has brought us or prarabdham has brought us, stay in that position and bring spiritual knowledge into life. Whether that will turn out later on to be a Paramahamsa or not, Paramahamsa means, we say Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya, that Paramahamsa stage, that will happen or not, don't worry about that at this stage. What is important here is that you don't follow that process like the way it is done in the Vedanta system. In Vedantam, what it is that they insist that you should follow the Brahmachari tradition first. They insist that you should live the life of the householder a particular period of time. They insist that you should go to the Vanaprastha Ashramam. And they insist that you should take the Sannyasa Ashram. But not like the way it's done today. There's a big difference there, that the Sannyasa Ashram as mentioned in the Shastram, in other words, Bhagavata Dharmam does not insist that. Bhagavata Dharmam says, wherever you have been put into that situation, live in that life, but bring knowledge into it. Bring spiritual knowledge into it. So Mujukunda says to Krishna that I lost the kingdom, that was a blessing, he says. And this living in the forest, still a greater blessing, he says. That's my Vanaprastha Ashram, I ended up here. And not only that, I got the opportunity to come to see you, he says here. And I don't need any more benedictions, any blessings anymore. That is how he spoke to Krishna. If you look into the 56th verse, in that you will see what he says there. That's where it ends, isn't it? So he says there that Nakamayenyam, Mujukunda's prayers, Nakamayenyam tava pada sevanam akinjana pratyatama dwaram vibho aradhya hastvam apavargadam hare vrinidam aryo varam almabandhanam Nakamayenyam tava pada sevana akinjana pratyatama dwaram vibho aradhya hastvam apavargadam hare Vrinidamaryo varam almabandhanam. Mujgunda says to Krishna that without any attachment to anything in this world, he says, that bhakti, what devotees ask you without any desires, freedom from all desires and bhakti, simply to execute bhakti. And I do not ask for anything more than that. And who will, he says here, Aradhya kastvam apavargadam hare vrinida aryovara atma bandhanam. He says, who will in the right frame of mind will ask for any benediction from you for sense enjoyment or sense enjoyment? Or the reason for that is mentions here that Bhagavata Dharma is a very natural thing. It's a very natural in the sense that it does not disturb your life a lot. For example, you can see sometimes that people goes through a lot of tormentation in their life. When they've gone into spiritual life, sometimes whether I should remain as a brahmachari, whether I should remain as a householder, one crisis. Then later on, whether I become a sannyasi or whether I should remain a householder, another crisis. All this is going through people's life. In different places you will see this happening. They come to spiritual life, but they haven't got still any idea what they should do. Sometimes people tell them that, look, Varnashrama Dharma is so important. Unless you become a sannyasi, you cannot preach or you cannot engage in spiritual life. So okay, let me take sannyasam then. Go and take sannyasam. After taking sannyasam, then more problems. Something else has gone, because vasanas have not gone from inside. What can you do? So again, coming back to the same mundane world to do mundane things and get stuck in that again. And it is neither sannyasi. And then you yourself start thinking, am I a real sannyasi? All what I am doing is whole day I am busy, more busier than a business executive. I am busy in this world. So what sannyasam is I am having? Then you have to put on a show to others, saying that, look, I am a sannyasi. You have to tell others. But people will start thinking, because normally people are also not stupid. They also can see through things a lot. They'll start saying that, what kind of sannyasi is this? Sannyasa ashram, Krishna upholds as the highest realized state. That is how he sees sannyasa ashram. Jnanam, sannyasa lakshanam. Sannyasa lakshanam is jnanam, knowledge, and knowledge, nothing but knowledge. Spiritual, complete spiritual realization. Able to give that to others and do that. That is jnanam, sannyasa lakshanam. That is the definition of sannyasam. But that is not happening. Whether that should go or should I remain householder, all these questions keeps coming. So here, that Bhagavata Dharma is not like that. Bhagavata Dharma is not confusing you like that. Bhagavata Dharma says, most natural way, whatever you are doing, you are a brahmachari, be a brahmachari, do what you want. Be a householder, be a householder. Whatever, doesn't matter. But this knowledge of the soul is more important than the ashram what you are in. It is not that only if you are a sannyasi, you will become self-realized. It's not that only if you are a brahmachari, you will become realized. Only if you are a householder, you will become realized. It's not mentioned anywhere. In fact, if you look at many of those great personalities, they were neither sannyasis nor brahmacharis either. They have gone beyond all that, because spiritual knowledge brings realization at the end. Is it not? So that realization stage, that's what mentions here. So Mujgunda says here that I was fortunate that it has left me. It has left me. So Mujgunda says to him, that was a blessing. This is also a blessing that I was able to see you. If I ask you anything anymore, it is going to be another rope to bind me again, he says. I am asking for another rope to bind me again. Because therefore, aradhyagastvam, he says there, isn't it? I am not asking anymore, nothing special. So that is an important thing. Only Mujgunda's story is telling us that when all our desires have completely gone from inside, that is when Krishna will come in front of us. And that is the reason why Krishna is not coming in front of us. Because Krishna knows very well if he comes, what will happen. That's the reason why he doesn't come. We think that Krishna is not coming because, oh, I did this, I did this. Desires have not gone from inside. That's the problem. And that Mujgunda's story was specifically spoken to give us this understanding. You can see when he okay, in the story, Kalayavana came after Krishna. Krishna entered into the cave and Muchukunda woke up because Kalayavana touched him by his feet and woke up, and in his fire of the eyes, Kalayavana got burned. That's all in the story. But the tattvam behind that is, Krishna appears to everybody. Krishna is present here, but he does not appear in front of us because desires have not gone from inside. Only when all the desires goes away, one can see Krishna within the heart, outside the outside also in the same way. So that is what mentions here, that Krishna is asking, what benediction do you want, to Muchukunda. Muchukunda says to him, please don't ask me that question anymore. I had all these demigods' blessings and these benedictions, I had enough of all that. Asking, I learned one thing, that if I ask any more, it's going to bind me again. Another rope I'm asking to tie me down here. Because his point is, any benediction that is given is under the three modes of material nature. Isn't it? If you ask for anything from Krishna, how it binds us is like this. We go and ask Krishna because we think that Krishna is there. After all, why am I chanting? If he cannot give it to me what I want. So this is the way we go. So anything if you ask from Krishna, the reaction of that is, every desire is under the three modes of material nature. So if you get anything from Krishna by asking, take it that although you may have fulfilled your desire, it has bound you on the other side. Bondage has happened. Because it is under the modes of nature. That desire has bound you in another thing. It has created some vasana inside. Vasana means karmam. Karma means bondage from there. So there is a lot of interesting incidents like this happened in many sannyasis' life also. Many, many great personalities who have left this world at a very early age in life. All those great personalities, they leave very early. They don't stay, rarely they stay longer, unless they had a specific reason to stay. You can see that so many sannyasis, they used to live at 35, 40 years old, things like that. So, so many disciples also, that they had to go through this kind of situations like that. So, here, the point is here that once the desires has gone away, Krishna will come. Krishna meets that person. Krishna does not hide himself away from, and he will ask what we want, but yes, because we have desires inside, Krishna never appears. Because Krishna knows very well that if we start asking, we won't stop. That's the problem. So, you may wonder why I'm saying this. Desires have got that power inside. Desire is a sankalpam inside, isn't it? If sankalpam builds up very strongly inside, it's very difficult to get rid of that from inside. Sometimes some desires develop in very strong level. In Ramayanam, there is an incident about this. It was only spoken to tell us how strong the desire. After Ramachandra came back from Lanka, after the battle, Ravana was killed and all that. Ramachandra, Sita Devi and others, they all came back to Ayodhya. So, he started giving everything in charity. Everything. They wanted to give in charity. War was over and administration was going on well. They, on their own, they didn't have any wealth. The kingdom had a lot of wealth. Personal wealth, they wanted to give it in charity. They were so conscious of what they owned and what owned by the public. Yeah. So, whatever they owned, they gave it in charity, everything. And Sita Devi, it says in the Bhagavatam, Saumangalya Vasheshita. Sita Devi gave all her jewelry in charity, whatever she had. And what was left, Mangala Sutram. Saumangalya Vasheshita. Only that Mangala Sutram, that what the married ladies wear, only that was left. Saumangalyava Sheshida. Shukabrahmarshi says about Sita Devi. All this was happening. Everything was given in charity, their own wealth they were giving in charity. Not the wealth of the kingdom, but their own wealth, what they had, they gave it in charity. So, when everything was over, one old Brahmana came there. From Trijada Brahmana, it's called. From, I think he comes from that area, Trijada, wherever that is. He came from there. Very old person. Very, very old. And he had one stick in his hand to walk. He couldn't even walk. And with a lot of effort, he got there. And he came to Ramachandra, give something to me, he said. Ask for some charity from Ramachandra. Ramachandra says, I've given everything, but he can't refuse now. A Brahmana has come. How to refuse him? So seeing this Brahmana's mood, Ramachandra felt a little bit funny. A Brahmana, that too an old Brahmana. Brahmana is not supposed to have this kind of desire, asking for something. That is quite unusual thing. But Ramachandra sensed that this Brahmana has some strong desire inside. How big is the desire, he doesn't know. But he understood that he has a lot of desire in him. So, says, he asked, Ramachandra asked him, what do you want? He said, give me lots of cows and some gold. And he made a few things, desires. He told Ramachandra, I want all these things, he said. Ramachandra was in a dilemma, what to say, doesn't know how to answer that question. So he says to the Brahmana that I would like to give him, but to give you a Brahmana that too, who is so old, it looked as though he was going to give up his body any time. He was that old and very weak also, but just to have a little fun, Ramachandra, what he did? He told this Brahmana, look, you know you got that stick in your hand. Throw that stick as far as you can throw. And I'll give you the cows in a line from here to the place where the stick falls. He says to this Trijada Brahmana, he says to him, you take that stick in your hand and you throw it. Wherever it reaches, doesn't matter where it is, from here right up to the point where the stick falls, I'll keep the cows in a row and hand them over to you in a charity, he said. You know what the Brahmana did? He had a cloth like this, a second cloth with him. Tie it around his waist. Stood there. And the stick, he, with all his effort, he threw. It went to the other side of the Sarayu River and fell there. Sarayu River passes through Ayodhya. On the opposite side, Ramachandra started smiling. Looking at the Brahmana, he wasn't so strong. He was so weak. He couldn't even walk properly. But the stick has got to the other end side. Ramachandra says there in the Ramayanam, he says, see, he says to Lakshmana, Lakshmana, look at this. This is the power of desire. If you have the desire, it is not his body that the strength is coming from. It's coming from that desire inside. So much desires inside. And then Ramachandra, of course, gave him what he promised. He gave him all the cows and everything. But in Ramayanam, Valmiki particularly makes this incident clear to us. If desires builds up in us strongly, that desire will develop into a vasana. And then if it is not done, you won't get sleep after that. It will take you to another body, or it will create a few more material bodies after that, till that desire gets fulfilled. That, how powerful that is, the desires. We take it that it's so simple. It's not that simple. Desires can develop into such powerful forces inside. It's a very powerful force inside, that desire. So Kriya, he says here that the whole fuel in our life is this desire that keeps this life going, isn't it? If there is no desire in life, we won't be living like this. The desires are there inside. That is the proof of that. Here, he says to Mujugunda, says to him that, if you look into that verse 56, he says there, that, na kama yenyam, 56, Mujugunda Stuti, na kama yenyam tava pada sevanam, akinjana prarthyadamadvaram vibho,
ആരാധ്യകസ്ത്വാം അപവർഗതം ഹരേ വൃണീതം ആര്യ വരം ആത്മബന്ധനം ന കാമയേന്യം തവ പാദസേവനം അകിഞ്ചന പ്രാർത്ഥതമാവര അദ്വരം വിഭോം ആരാധ്യകസ്ത്വം അപവർഗതം ഹരേ വൃണീതമാര്യോ വരമാത്മബന്ധനം
അപവർഗതം. അപവർഗതം മീൻസ് വി ഹാവ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ഓൾ ദിസ് ചേഞ്ചിങ് ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ് ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ് ബോഡീസ് വി ഹാവ് കം ടു ദിസ് ഹ്യൂമൻ ഫോം ഓഫ് ലൈഫ് ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദിസ് ഹ്യൂമൻ ഫോം ഓഫ് ലൈഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് അപവർഗതം.
അപവർഗതം മീൻസ് കൃഷ്ണ മെൻഷൻസ് ഹിയർ
that we have come to the lotus feet of Krishna or Krishna's presence or Ramchandra's presence who is capable of giving liberation to us. Muchukunda is saying to Krishna, I have got to that point now and is it proper for me to ask something else now from you except that freedom, liberation from this body? So just like in the olden days when the kings ruled, people will go to the king asking for some help from the king. So suppose you go to a king and says to him, can you give me 2 eggplants or something very very silly thing to ask like that. So that's why he mentions there in the 57th verse, you will notice that what he mentions that
tasman visrajya shishamisha sarvado രജസ്തമസ് സത്വഗുണാനുബന്ധനം നിരഞ്ജനം നിർഗുണം അദ്വയം പരം ത്വാം ജ്ഞപ്തിമാത്രം പുരുഷം പ്രജാമ്യഹം.
മുചുകുന്ദ സേസ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ,
തസ്മാ വിസൃജ്യാശിഷമീശ സർവദോ രജസ്തമസ് സത്വഗുണാനുബന്ധനം.
ഇഫ് ഐ ആസ്ക് സംതിങ് ഫ്രം യു, വാട്ട് വിൽ ഹാപ്പൻ? ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഐ വിൽ ബി ട്രാപ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദ 3 മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ. Rajas, Tamas, Sattva, Gunanubandhanam. These 3 modes of nature will capture me straight away. Why?
Niranjanam, Nirgunam, Advayam, Param. Tvam, Nyapti, Matram, Purusham, Vrajamyaham.
See that word, Nyapti there. The word Nyapti, how Mujukunda uses that word.
Tvam, Nyapti, Matram, Purusham, Vrajamyaham.
The Nyapti, Sutralma, all these things, a different name addressing to the soul. Addressing the soul. So here he says here that I come here and if I ask you something, what will happen to me? I'll get stuck in the 3 modes of material nature. What I am asking you, if I ask anything from you, it is nothing but 3 modes of material nature. Any desire means 3 modes of material nature. So here he says here, Mujukunda says to Krishna, I, just like the driver opens the car door and tells the passenger, get into the car, please sit down. In a similar way, Mujukunda is saying to Krishna, I'm not going to ask you anything anymore, but all I'm asking you is you, please come with me. In other words, liberation, he says here. Niranjanam nirgunamadvayam param, he says here, isn't it? Nyapti means... Nyapti is that awareness inside, the soul's awareness, isn't it? Avabodham, that is Nyapti. Yesterday also we talked about Nyapti, isn't it? Nyapti is that thing that the soul, which, why these different names for the soul? You may ask the question. The reason is this, because we can't understand the soul, cannot be explained properly. Through different functions only, the rishis are taking us closer to the soul. For example, yesterday we talked about this, that Nyapti is that thing that through senses, mind, knowledge acquiring senses, and the knowledge senses and knowledge senses of action, all 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action. Through that senses, we are relating with the world, isn't it? We are relating with the world. But in order to relate with the world also, if soul is not there, you can't relate with the world. Light is there, eyes are there, the mind is there, everything is there. But when the soul is present, because of the presence of this, in the presence of the soul consciousness, The mind functions, the senses function, so experience of the world happens to us. And when it happens in that way, it's called jnapti. Jnapti matram purusham prajamyaham. That jnapti, he says, so here also, Muchukunda is saying to Krishna, you are that jnapti. So in that aspect, the soul is called jnapti. In another place you will see, Pipalayana Maharshi's words, if you look, that there, the soul is called sutralmava. You see sutralma. Sutra means what? Sutra means, it is in the 11th canto, second or third chapter, or third chapter I think. Pipalayana Maharshi Vacha. Pipalayana, this is it. Their soul is addressed to sutram. Sutram is what? Just like a thread goes through so many things, in Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti and all states, without unbroken awareness that passes through, that is sutram. Like a thread, it goes through. So another way of defining the soul, identifying the soul. Because from all angles, we have to accept that soul is the reality, body is not a reality. Body belongs to material nature. That is not us. We are soul. Soul is like this. And because soul cannot be spoken or explained properly through words, as I said yesterday also, that sometimes we think that soul is like a light. You imagine about the soul, isn't it? Shishubala died as light comes and joins Krishna's lotus feet. So we start thinking that, so is a soul like a light then? Same thing with Akhasura also. When Akhasura got killed, a light from Akhasura came and joined at Krishna's lotus feet. So people start thinking, soul must be like light then. Isn't it? Immediately. In the film and all, drama and all, they show like that. Isn't it? Now you can get so many things to show how the soul goes. There's all sorts of things in the drama they use now to show. Because the more we become gross, we lose that subtlety in us. We need require all this kind of things to teach us what the soul is. But here, what point it says, that sutram is this. That is the word Pipalayana Maharshi uses about the soul. Why? Like a thread, it goes through Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, back to Jagrat. It is goes on changing. But he is separate from the state, from the particular state. So therefore, it's sutram. He is mentioned that. So different words you will come and see at different times. Atma, soul is addressed with different words. It is addressed at that time. So anyway, here, that jnapti means basically that avabhodam inside, awareness inside, in whose chidvastu, consciousness, in English you call it as consciousness. So that vastu, jnapti, he defines there, nirgunam, niranjanam, advayam. Three words he uses there. Did you see that in that verse? He uses three words to define the soul. Nirgunam, niranjanam, advayam. So, in other words, nirguna means there is no three modes of material nature in him, in the soul. Sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. These three modes of material nature is not present in him. Addressing the soul, he is talking about this. Addressing the soul. Nirgunam, niranjanam, advayam. He says. So, which means, wherever if you have three modes of material nature present in anyone, it is a black spot. It's a black spot. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavadam. If you look, it mentions there that sattvam rajastama iti gunam buddhe na chalpana. There's a 13th chapter, I think, begins with that verse. Sattvam rajastama iti gunam buddhe na chalpana. It is called gunam. Gunam means that gunam is the modes of nature is actually a black spot. Black spot means it pollutes. That's what it does. What does gunam does? It makes us impure. Whether it's sattugunam or rajogunam or tamogunam, it makes us impure. We are not pure anymore. We are contaminated with these three modes of material nature. Sattugunam can help to free oneself from the influence of, it will develop knowledge. That is the only benefit of sattugunam. Otherwise, it's also pollutes. It also pollutes. You know that it's there in the Bhagavad Gita, mentions there. So, he says here, I have learned a big lesson. Muchukunda says to him, that's that 58th verse, he says to him, that the lesson what he has learned, he mentions, if you look in that 58th verse, he says, Chiramiham, Chiramiha Brajinartha Tapyamano no Tapai, Avidrisha Shadamitro Labdashandi Katanchil, Sharanada Samubeda Tulpadabjam Paralma, Abhayamudam Ashokam Pahivabanamisham, Chiramiha Brajinartham Tapyamano no Tapai, Avidrisha Shadamitro Labdashandi Katanchil, Sharanada Samubeda Tulpadabjam Paralma, Abhayamrutam Ashokam Pahimam Annamisham. Then, for so many, such a long period of time, Muchukunda has lived a very long period of time. According to Ramayanam, Dasharatha had a very long span of life. Very, very long span of life. They lived in the Tridayugam, isn't it? So, apparently when Dasharatha married, according to Valmiki Ramayanam, he was 50,000 years old when he married Valmiki at that time. Kaikeyi at that time. So similarly, Muchukunda was before then, before Dasharatha, wasn't it? No, Muchukunda was after Dasharatha. But whatever it is, that solar dynasty kings, they all had a very long span of life. Very, very long span of life. So he says here, that so many years experiencing the result of my karmic activities and distressed and unusual because of such a long healthy life they had. He says here, the senses are very demanding. I was trying to satisfy the senses and without any peace I have been going on in this world. Somehow or the other, I have come at your Sharanada Samubeda Tulpadavjam Paralpan. Abhayamrutam Ashokam Pahibam Annamesha. Asking Krishna's shelter, he is saying, and stops that prayers there. So here, you can see, in the life also, he is saying there, once you get a lot of happiness, and there a lot of distress will come after that. That is the way the law works in this world. No one will say to you that, oh, I have been throughout my life, I had the same state of happiness. It never happens. Lot of happiness will come, then a lot of distress will come. Then a lot of happiness will come, and a lot of distress will come. That's the very nature of the material life. So, sometime, you have to be careful also that, if a lot of happiness comes, it can turn out to be a lot of distress after that. It comes in that way. Because, the reason for that is, that happiness what you have experienced at that time, it will create a samskaram inside. It will create a samskaram inside. And we will become a slave of that samskaram and its happiness. When you become happy in life, due to whatever reasons it may be, it doesn't matter. But if some happiness in life, that happiness will create a samskaram inside. And we will become a slave of that samskaram. Of that samskaram will happen and that will become a cause of distress later. That you know very well. It's not very difficult to understand. Just like we have got some comforts in life, isn't it? Some comforts in life. And what does that comfort mean actually? That comfort has created a samskaram inside me that I feel comfortable with that. And in other words, I become a slave of that comfort myself. Tomorrow if it's taken out from me, it is a source of distress for me. It's a source of distress for me. And then we say, oh, what will happen if I lose this, if I lose that? I couldn't live without that. You have become a slave then, isn't it? You can't do anything about it. You lost it, in other words. That is how this happiness works. Happiness binds us in that way. It creates a samskara inside and that happiness will create that samskaram and you will become a slave. Once they become a slave of that samskaram, then what will happen? It will create the distress later on. Remember, we were discussing yesterday. We think that when we visit these big temples in India, you see outside a lot of poor people who have nothing with them, isn't it? And sometimes you wonder how they live in this world when you look at them. Very old people, very poor, nothing is guaranteed in their life. Food is not guaranteed, shelter is not guaranteed, clothing is not guaranteed, but they sit there day in and day out. In every big temple you go, you will see this. Now what's happening is, government is saying, begging is not allowed, take them all and lock them up somewhere. The government is doing all these kind of things. They're not allowed to sit there. That government says, no, if you sit there, tourists won't come. That's it. Who brings the dollar and the sterling? They won't come, so we have to lock them up all. So it's just like the street dogs, they lock these people also up. They have been sitting there for years and years like that, completely dependent on the near the temple, depending on all the big temples. You will see this outside, very, very, very poor people. They have no comforts in life, no food, no shelter, no clothing, nothing is guaranteed. If you get sick, you are sick, no doctor, no medicine, no money. Imagine a life like that. But as I was saying yesterday, Shraddha has come to them. Because of all this in their life, they have become conscious that there is no shelter in this world except Krishna. It may not have happened by studying Shastram or practicing it. Krishna has put them into that situation and they have accepted it. That's their success. Whereas we are resisting. If Krishna will he put me into that situation, I am frightened. Is it not? So that is where that difference, that this is what happiness has done to us. Happiness has put into the situation, austerity has become difficult. And tomorrow, if something happens in life, we'll be completely shaken. Most of the cases, what will happen is, we'll say, all these years I've chanted the holy name and I've done so much, this is what he has done to me. This will be the response from us, is it not? So, my point is this, that here, he says here, or Muchukunda is saying to him, that actually happiness is a bigger burden than distress. Distress will come and go. Happiness will bind you and force distress on you later, in another way. Therefore, it will not allow you to have shanti in life. Because shanti is the nature of the soul. Shanti is the nature of the soul. As I mentioned before, in many places in the Bhagavad Gita, if you carefully study, you will see shanti is given stress on shanti more than anything else. Is it not? Is it not? Shanti is spoken few places in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see. Abhijet Sudaracharyo Bhajadema Ananyabhak Sadhur Eva Samandavya Samyag Vyavasidohisa. I think it is in the 9th chapter. Kshipram Bhavadi Dharmalpma. Such a person will become a Dharmalpma very quickly. Kshipram Bhavadi Shashwa Shandim Nigachadi. Krishna says he will reach the state of Shandi. It is in the Bhagavad Gita. Kshipram bhavati dharmalma shashwat shantim nigachadi. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyadi. My devotee will never perish. He says to Arjuna there, isn't it? So there it is spoken about shanti. Bhoktaram yajnyadavasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhudanam yatvamam shanti mrchadi. Again shanti. Another place in the, there are many places in the second chapter also you will see mentioned about shanti. At the end also Krishna says, isn't it, that bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschami tattuda tadomam tattudo jnato vishade tadanandaram tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata yal prasadal param shandim sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. Again shanti. So shanti is the realized state, not excited state. Sometimes we misunderstand that all excitement, happiness and bliss and all that is the nature of the soul. No, shanti is the nature. Bliss is different. Excitement is emotions, isn't it? coming from the mind. That is not the nature of the soul. Bliss is different than knowledge and the blissful nature of the soul. That is a different thing. But Shanti is the state in realized condition. Krishna talks about Shanti in many places in the Bhagavad Gita. And also you will see in Kavi Maharshi's statement, he will mention there Shanti there. Isn't it? At the end, in the 11th canto, in the second chapter, when Kavi spoke about Bhagavata Dharma, he says, Tataparam Shanti Mupayati Sakshar. So Shanti has a, and all Upanishad mantram you will see, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. Why Shanti, Shanti is spoken so much? So Shanti is a nature that, so those who have experienced that Shanti of the soul, they give up the happiness of, the happiness that comes from the, they give up the happiness. They give up the happiness. Because once you realize that happiness is going to cause me problem later, what will you do? You won't go after that. Is it not? Sometimes you see this in some people. They're not studying Shastram, but analyzing the life itself, they have learned this technique. Many people, very difficult to say that here, but it's a different thing. But in India, you will see sometimes some people, even if they got an opportunity to sit comfortably on a sofa set, they won't sit. They'll sit on the floor. Why? If you ask them, they'll tell you the reason also. Some of them are very conscious. I don't want to get used to all these luxuries, they'll say. Why? Because they know tomorrow it will trap you in some other way. They won't buy cars, they won't buy any of the modern conveniences. They keep out of it because years and years they lived in that simple life and they realize, I don't want to become a slave of this. Acquiring and become a slave of that. Because once it is taken away, then I feel the distress after that. That is, it's not coming from Shastram. It's just out of common sense they learned this lesson. Not to become trapped in the sukham, the happiness. So, therefore it says here, Mujunda is also saying here, that sukham, the so-called sukham, that also become a bore after a while. It become a bore. Because it becomes like that. You feel bored with it after a while. because actually, sukham and dukham, happiness and distress, is a disturbance in the consciousness. It's a disturbance in the consciousness. You see how the sages have analyzed it in such depth. And they have understood the technique in life. How to keep life in such a way that you are peaceful to execute spiritual life, to escape from here. Escaping from here is more important, not to accept another material body again. So we have to create an environment or surroundings favorable for that. That means sukham dukham, coming and going, is not favorable for that. Therefore they are saying to us that intelligence is not to create undue, unwanted activities in this world and undue responsibilities also, and free yourself from sukham and dukham. This all helps to keep that balance of mind inside the peaceful state to execute spiritual life. Because otherwise the knowledge of the soul, all this what Krishna is talking to Uddhava, Krishna is talking to Arjuna, all these things in order that to develop inside, to realize it inside, that Shanti state is essential. Before every Upanishad lesson, they chant the mantra, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. At the end they chant Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. Because Shanti is the requirement for receiving the transcendental knowledge. Not Rajogunam, not Tamogunam. When somebody is busy flying around all over the world, here, there, everywhere, and then if you expect from him transcendental knowledge, it will be a bit difficult. It will be only a preaching. It will be nothing more than that. It will be just a preaching, but it won't be any realizations in there. So it is not possible to develop spiritual consciousness in that state. Shanti is the essential for that. So it creates, that Shanti is what we are disturbing by our activities. So what it does is, it will create a samskaram inside, and in another way, it will always create a emptiness inside. Sukham Dukham, what it does is, happiness and distress is, it creates a samskaram inside, and always inside you will feel a lack of fulfillment, something missing inside. That's what all these things does. It creates a missing thing inside. You feel something is missing in life, and that should not happen, because if you feel like that, then it's difficult to practice spiritual life. Spiritual life is possible when everything is peaceful inside. You will notice another thing. This is, you have to analyze your own way. I don't know how to say that. There are different so-called religions in this world, isn't it? Different religions, we say. Some religion spreads when there is a lot of fighting and quarreling and arguing going on, with the sword, killing each other and converting people to this religion, that religion, all sorts of things goes on. One kind of religion is like that. There is another religion, wherever there is shortage of material necessities, that religion will spread. They'll bring a lot of supplies, food, clothing, shelter, drugs, medicine, whatever is necessary, and convert people in that way. These are two different ways conversion happens in this modern world. One through the bullet or through the sword, and another one by supplying everything. Put people into starvation and then supply them food and tell them, now you change your religion. This way. So these two things are good. Vedic philosophy spreads when there is shanti. That's the difference. Vedic philosophy spreads, people will accept spiritual knowledge and self-realization as spirituality, the way Vedas talk about, is accepted by people when there is shanti inside. When there is no fighting, no quarreling, there is peacefulness inside, they will get attracted to this process. This process. This is all the way world runs. If you have to observe yourself, you can see this happening. The people are attracted when, I mean, some places you will see, you will be shocked by their commitment to their religion. That they are willing to kill others to get them into your religion. And somehow or the other, they do that. But they believe that that is the right thing to do. They are convinced on that. That's why they are doing that, isn't it? Similarly, sometimes when you see the enthusiasm of some of the preachers all over the world, they are willing to do anything to get them to, to your way of thinking. How does it help? So, whereas Vedic philosophy never did that. Vedic philosophy is like this. When there is shanti inside, this knowledge of the soul will naturally develop inside. A desire for knowing the truth, in other words. Whereas those processes will never create that inside. You joined the winning party and then you live with them. That's all. Temporarily you have got all your material needs met. Whatever that is it way. So, anyway, so that is what Krishna mentions here, that the, I think this is in the Hitopadesham, there is a statement, it's a very interesting one, what says here, there are six enemies inside, they are sitting there, and they are stealing the peace inside. What it says here, kama, krodhascha, lobhascha, first three, kamam, krodham, lobham. Deho tishtandi taskaraha. They are sitting inside and they are like the thieves. What do they do? Jnana ratnabaharaya. That spiritual knowledge is stolen away from inside. The knowledge is inside there, everyone. But because there is kamam, krodham, lobham, all these things, all of them, dehe tishtandi manava. In everyone's inside is present there. And Jnana Ratnabaharaya, that jewel inside of spiritual knowledge, Jnana Ratnam, it is called the jewel of knowledge. Jnana Ratnabaharaya, it is stolen away. Tasmal, therefore, Jagrada, Jagrada, always alert, alert, says in the Upadesham. So, Kama Krodhascha Lobhascha Dehe Tishtandi Manavaha, that is, in everyone inside. Jnana Ratnabaharaya, he steals away that knowledge, doesn't allow spiritual knowledge to manifest inside. Tasmal, Jagrada, Jagrada, always alert, alert, he says. So, these thieves inside, and they are continuously stealing that knowledge inside. So, you will see here that, and there he went and gave this darshanam to Muchukunda and says and blessed him and showed this mercy to him. And Muchukunda says to him, what did Muchukunda do? From Muchukunda's side, what did he do now to please Krishna? This is a question there. The main thing what Muchukunda has done there is this, that he has shown perfect vairagyam to Krishna. Proper vairagyam to Krishna. Krishna was so impressed by Muchukunda's words. Vairagyam had come to him. And that is what makes Krishna. You remember in Bhagavadam, three things. Jnanam, Bhakti, Vairagyam. Three things are spoken in the Srimad Bhagavadam. So what made Muchukunda qualified here to receive Krishna's mercy was his Vairagyam. Vairagyam. In several prayers in the Bhagavadam, you will notice they stress different things. Some of the prayers stress Bhakti. Some of them stress Vairagyam. Some of them stress Jnanam. Depends on from whom the prayer is coming. In Brahma's prayers, you will see highly packaged with knowledge. Highly packaged with knowledge and bhakti. Long Brahmastuti, if you read 70 chapters in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, Brahma's glorifications, you will see it is surcharged with knowledge. And in Garbhastuti, Brahma came many times to glorify Krishna, isn't it? There is Garbhastuti. And every time Krishna appears in different forms, Narasimhamurti, Vamanamurti, every time Brahma comes also to glorify and then he will go back. With the demigods he comes, glorifies and he goes back. So if you observe each of those glorifications, you will see sometimes it is charged with knowledge, sometimes charged with devotion. Not much in Brahma's prayers charged with Vairagya. This is all beautiful aspect of Bhagavadam. Some of them is charged with knowledge, some of them is charged with bhakti. But Rishabhadev's prayers in the 5th canto, and here Muchukunda's prayers to Krishna, there is also Muchukunda Stuti and there is also Rishabhadev's instructions to his sons, isn't it? 100 sons. Kavi, Hari, Andarishan, they were all there and they were instructed. Those verses, and these verses, if you look, you will see what was there behind it. Vairagyam. Vairagyam. So, all three are necessary. Remember, bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, all three are necessary. If those three things don't go together, if you have shortage of one of them, it will have its effect on your spiritual life. I spoke about that before in the previous class also. That if your bhakti is without jnanam, it won't go in the right track. It will derail. It will go in some other direction. Bhakti without jnanam, that will happen. Jnanam without vairagyam, jnanam will not get its firm rooting, firmly rooted inside. It won't get rooted inside. In other words, vairagyam is the one that keeps that jnanam burning inside. The knowledge, you may have studied shastram, you may have understood many things, but in order that knowledge to work inside, vairagyam is a must. Vairagyam is a must. So, vairagyam supports the jnanam. Jnanam supports the bhakti. And bhakti cannot stay without jnanam and vairagyam. These all three are connected to each other. That is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see, when glorification is died, mentioned about, even in the first canto, you will see, where bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam. Three things is the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because without those three things together, our spiritual life will wobble. It will go out of the track. To keep us on the track, all the three are necessary. So that is why Krishna says here that to him, that Muchukunda said this to Krishna and Krishna also responded in the same way. When one has not handed over the mind or surrendered to Krishna in that way, accepted this knowledge of the Bhagavatam properly, and even if he is very successful in this life, all his success and achievements, everything is simply worth nothing. If there is no surrender, if there is no bhakti, Krishna says here, that therefore he mentions there that surrendering is an important aspect. Surrender means that we don't have to throw away and run away from that, but bringing Krishna into life in everything, in connecting with that in that way. So then bhakti will develop inside. And that is what, if we go back to the 19th chapter, 24th verse says that. Krishna mentions there that. 19th chapter, verse 24.
Evam dharmair manushyanam uddhavalmanivedinam mai sanjayade bhakti konyortho sya avashishyate.
That's that verse.
Evam dharmair manushyanam uddhavalmanivedinam mai sanjayade bhakti konyortasya avashishyate.
Uddhava, he says, by executing this Bhagavata Dharmam in this way, and one who has come to that state of offer himself to me, Krishna says, when he offers to me, without any difficulty, he has nothing else to acquire. Verse 25 again.
Yada alpanyarpidam chittam shandam sattoba brahmhitam dharmam jnanam savairagyam aishwaryam chabibadhyadaha.
See, yada in 24, Krishna is saying that evam dharmair manushyanam, if you execute this Bhagavad Dharma, what will happen?
Udhavalpa nivedinam mai sanjayade bhakti konyortasya avashishyade.
Krishna is saying, one who has executed that bhakti and he has reached that stage, he has surrendered his body, mind, everything to me, he says, he will have bhakti, he will get bhakti. And one who has got that bhakti, what has he got to achieve anymore in this life? Krishna is asking that question to Uddhava. And immediately after that, in the 25th verse, Krishna says to him,
Eda alpanyarpidam chittam shandam sattoba brahmhidam dharmam jnanam savairagyam aishwaryam chabibadhyade.
For such a person, because there is he has offered everything to me, what has happened now? The result is bhakti has developed in him. When bhakti has developed inside, means what? Satugunam. Satugunam has developed in him. Because of that, his shandi has come to the chittam. Chittam shandam, he says. Krishna says there that yad alpanyarpidam chittam shandam. Shandam satoba brahmhidam. Because bhakti is there in a person, means there is mode of goodness in him. Satugunam. Satugunam satoba brahmhidam. It is filled with satugunam. It is overflowing with satugunam. That mind is overflowing with satugunam, which means shandi inside. And Krishna says here that such a person, and that person's chittam, such a person, dharmam, jnanam, vairagyam, aishwaryam, all those things, without any difficulty, he gets it. Dharmam, jnanam, aishwaryam, vairagyam, all those things. So there you can see, Krishna mentions there, vairagyam, aishwaryam both. Have you seen that? On one side vairagyam, on the other side aishwaryam. Aishwaryam means all opulences, isn't it? And vairagyam means total renunciation. So all of them are not an issue anymore. That is the point Krishna is making. That bhakti develops, as I mentioned before, Krishna brings and ties it down to bhakti, everything at the end. If bhakti develops well inside, but bhakti at the same time, without jnana vairagyam, that bhakti also may go in the wrong directions. So simultaneously, all of these three things has to keep going inside. That is where Srimad Bhagavatam helps. Srimad Bhagavatam can help at that stage. So here Krishna saying to him that such a person, that sajayade bhaktihi, Krishna says the Uddhava, there is nothing else more than that to get in this world. Konyartha avashishyate. Once you have got that bhakti inside, then Krishna is asking Uddhava, what else is there to get in this world? And by no other processes, it is not possible through bhakti acquiring jnanam vairagyam. through bhakti acquire jnanamaya. It's not saying there that it's all very systematically programmed. I execute jnana yoga for 10 years and then for another 10 years or bhakti. It's not like that is how it works. It's not a no programming will work in the bhakti process. Even spiritual life is always like that. You can't program it. Because we are so used to this programming business, isn't it? Everything we like to program in life. Everything organized way. Devotees are also programming now everything in life. So they say, why not? We all want to program life, but programming won't work in spiritual life. Spiritual life is all deprogramming. This programming has to go from inside. That's spiritual life. Where we become totally dependent on Krishna and Krishna's mercy alone. That is the way spiritual life operates, isn't it? So here he mentions to him, Krishna is saying, if you have got bhakti, then there is nothing else you have to worry about anything. You have got everything and that there is no desires for him afterwards and nothing else is required. That is the 25th verse. Yad atmanyarpitam chittam shantam satoba brahmhidam dharmam jnanam cha vairagyam aishwaryam cha abhipadyate. By now what has happened is the mind has settled down and it has learned how to stay in the soul. How to stay in the soul. What it means is there is no such thing called mind anymore. You have become the soul, in other words. Identity with the mind is in the jiva state. When you are a jiva, you identify with the mind. But when this stage comes, Krishna is saying there, the mind has learned now the lesson and it does not want to go out anymore looking for anything. It is completely satisfied in the spiritual position as the soul and it is settled down there. And na kinchit abhichindayet, Krishna says there. Na kinchit abhichindayet, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, na kinchit abhichindayet. So, we will stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.